Great county. And we still have on deck Howard, Hartford, Dorchester, Charles, Allegheny, Anne Arundel, Baltimore County, Maryland School for the Blind, Baltimore City. Apologize for the wait. Montgomery County.
Good afternoon, Governor O'Malley, Controller Franco, Treasurer Cobb. I'm Phil Kaufman, President of Montgomery County Board of Education. I'm here today with Superintendent Joshua Starr to thank you for your past support and to ask that you fully fund our current request. Our County Executive, Ike Leggett, planned to attend, but with the date change, was unable to rearrange his schedule. So as you are probably aware, our burgeoning enrollment growth continues, increasing this year to 151,000 students, a one-year increase of more than 2,700 students. By 2020, we anticipate continuing growth to 162,000 students, a staggering increase of 25,000 students since 2008. In 6 years, we have gained 14,000 students, mostly elementary school students. This is more than the combined growth in Anne Arundel, Howard, Frederick, and Baltimore counties. This is the equivalent of 18 elementary schools with a capacity of 740 students each. This growth will push to the secondary schools, creating the need for nearly 10,000 middle and high school seats, the equivalent of 4 middle schools and 2 high schools. No other jurisdiction is seeing this unprecedented growth. In fact, 10 districts have lost students while we have gained. Who are our students? Between 1970 and 2013, our system has changed from one that is predominantly white, non-Hispanic, to one that is a very diverse population, and where white, non-Hispanic enrollment now is only 32% of the total. One-third of our students qualify for free and reduced-price meal system services, increasing over the past 20 years from 20,000 to more than 49,000. We continue to enroll half of Maryland's English for Speakers of Other Languages students, providing services to more than 20,000 students, representing 158 countries and 127 languages. Almost three-fourths of these students are born in the United States. Nearly $600 million is needed to address our capacity needs alone. This is separate and apart from the very real and equally serious need for other capital expenditures. While the county has provided substantial financial support, for which we are grateful, it has not been enough, nor will it ever be enough. State aid, for which we are appreciative, has not kept pace with our clear and documented needs. If we are to have any hope of closing our capacity gap and addressing our aging facilities, it is crucial that our state aid request be approved and imperative that we receive continued as well as additional state support to maintain our commitment to provide excellent facilities for our students and staff. So thank you for your time and attention to our concerns and for your consideration of our state aid request. Now I'll turn it over to Dr. Joshua Starr, our superintendent, to provide more details of our request.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I will try to be very brief. Thank you, as always, for the opportunity to talk about our capacity issues. Thank you for having us today. The IAC has recommended funding $22 million of our nearly $163 million request, and we are here today to appeal for the balance of those funds. Before you are the details of our request, which barely begin to illustrate the depth and breadth of our needs. Our appeal includes the balance of construction funding for one project, construction funding for 14 projects, planning approval and construction funding for 5 projects, funding for 5 systemic roof projects, funding for 9 systemic heating, ventilation, and air conditioning projects, and planning approval for 10 projects. Completed projects are indicated as priority numbers 1 through 11 and 27. Construction contracts have been awarded, and construction has begun for projects listed as priority numbers 26 through 41/42. As Mr. Kaufman has said, state aid in recent years has not kept pace with our school construction program, and while the county has provided substantial support, it is not enough to address our needs and burgeoning enrollment. As you know, the Montgomery County, Prince George's, and Baltimore County executives last week announced their intent, or 2 weeks ago, to work with their state delegations to develop legislation that would provide additional funding for capital projects. These funds would be used to build new schools, add classrooms, and modernize older facilities. The three executives, as well as all of us here, understand that improving the teaching and learning environment in our schools is an important and critical step to ensure that Maryland remains the number one state in the country when it comes to education. We urge you to consider our appeal for funding. Thank you for your past support and the opportunity to appear before you today.
Thank you, Doctor. Questions?
Thank you, Mr. Kaufman, for your leadership. It's a great board. Dr. Starr is, frankly, a hero of mine. I used to get into arguments with him all the time, but ever since Arne Duncan called up to New York and got him unhired by the mayor, boy, I have paid a lot of attention to you, Dr. Starr, and anything that we can do to be helpful to you, because you're absolutely right on this issue of standardized testing. A year ago, you wrote in the Post that we must be accountable for the achievement of all children, especially those who historically have not been well served by public education. But increased use of standardized tests has been the wrong mechanism. That's why No Child Left Behind has been ineffective at closing the achievement gap. And I'm sorry, you don't have to comment on New York City, but their loss is our gain. And boy, I'll tell you, you're onto something when you say that evaluating teachers is a very complex effort, that you have to focus not on testing alone, but on pedagogy, content knowledge, classroom management. I was at Newport Mill Middle School in Kensington with some of my artist awards recently, and believe me, everywhere I go, the public is saying, hey, what gives with this? This is becoming an obsession. And all we read about is testing, and we don't read about education. And so stick to your guns. I'll vote for you anytime. And
appreciate that.
You know, let me just ask on these, once again, on the Common Core, since I've asked it before to other systems. Apparently, you're going to need about 18,000 compliant new devices. At $600 per device, that's going to be a cost of over $10 million. You need to build out the infrastructure, the wireless infrastructure for this Common Core exercise of Mr. Duncan's by another $3 million. That's going to cost. Apparently, it's going to cost $4 million to connect to the wide area network. And so there we are. We're already up to $16 million. Are you expecting the federal government to pay all this, or is there some rock candy mountain that I'm not aware of where this is all going to be paid
for? You know, we understand that there is a degree of an unfunded mandate requiring the testing requirements for Common Core, but we support Common Core state standards. We support PARC. We embrace the opportunity to double the number of devices that we have to get into the hands of our kids in our schools. We want to make sure that they're devices that can be used for other things as well. We do think there are obviously some complicated issues with implementing the Common Core, and the technology issues are certainly one of them, and it is, as you say, an unfunded mandate. We have put in our budget doubling the number of the devices we usually purchase, and we are doing everything we can to get our kids ready.
Great. Well, Nicholas Tucker from Piney Branch Elementary, he came up to about my hip, gave him an award. Pauline Turr and Adam Anderson, their works are all over in my office. Fabulous credit to the county. Obviously, Joanne Burrell is someone who's an exceptional volunteer, and I stopped by Hoover Middle School in Pinecrest recently, and just keep up the great work. I am officially a huge fan of yours. So.
Very much appreciate that. And thank you for your support of our kids, and particularly arts programs as well. They do some great work, so thank you.
Now, we've been able, actually, statewide to close our achievement gap. Correct? Jared?
Yes.
Paul Watermount, come up to the mic, would you? Introduce yourself. Wish Lillian were here.
How are you? Jared Billings, the governor's office.
And Jared, tell us about the achievement gap in Maryland over the last few years.
So we've actually been able to close the achievement gap both in terms of AP scores for our 9th through 12th grade students. We've also had a great closing achievement gap on MSA and HSAs. And so there has been improvement there over the last few years. Obviously, No Child Left Behind is a policy that we've actually gotten a waiver from. And so that is not officially what we are working under right now as we speak.
I just wanted to talk about the achievement gap. Thanks for that. Yeah, what are you guys doing with the achievement gap, Doc?
It continues to narrow. Our most recent graduation results show that they're up across the board. We're narrowing it a little bit.
When you say they're up above the board, you mean the achievement gap is growing?
No, the graduation rates are up, and particularly we're narrowing the gap in graduation rates. We're seeing a little bit of a narrowing SAT and AP as well, but we do reflect on the state of the state and the nation. We still continue to have persistent gaps.
Is it growing at the elementary level in Montgomery County?
No, not that I'm aware of. It's been pretty stable, quite frankly, over the last few years, which means that we have not done all that we could. We've recently set achievement gap reduction targets for the first time.
Great.
Both at the high school and the elementary level, not using the MSA for that, but using national norm reference tests as well as advanced placement, SAT, graduation, because we believe that by setting targets for a reduction in gaps, we will double down on our efforts to close it.
Terrific. Hey, one of the things that I've been bringing up with all the superintendents is we, especially in a county as populous as Montgomery, there are 16,353 kids who, while they receive a school lunch, do not receive school breakfast, though they are eligible. So if you could help us, Ann Sheridan is here. Raise your hand, Ann. She's our Secretary for Children, Youth, and Families. I know we've talked about this before, but so the participation in Montgomery is around 56%, which is how'd that compare to Prince George's?
They're about the same.
So Prince George and Montgomery, two of our largest counties, are also two of our lower in terms of participation in school breakfast. So I think it's some low-hanging opportunities, and we'd like to help you reach those. And the funding's already there in many cases, and we put some more funding in for where the connective sort of things like the carts or the other stuff. So anyway, just wanted to mention that.
Well, and we very much appreciate your efforts in that regard, and we know we've been working closely with your office to see what we can do to provide more breakfast and to more kids at low cost as well, so particularly nutritious breakfast. So we very much appreciate your efforts because our kids need it.
Thank you.
Could you also introduce your other colleagues?
Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't introduce James Song, the incredible guru who's behind all of our construction. He's the head of our division.
Are you all doing something with that farm that was much in controversy? A couple of... what was the name of the farm?
I'm sorry, I think our time is up. The farm is currently sitting there. We actually have been working quite well with some of the folks who have been very interested in environmental sustainability. They've been actually meeting with my curriculum folks because we do know that there are some people involved in the discussion that were not necessarily about the 20 acres, but were about the concept of environmental sustainability and farming. We've been working with them to embed some of their intelligence into our curriculum, but as it currently stands, the farm is sitting there.
Yeah, it might be something that could help with the nutrition on the on the lunch stuff too. I bet you can raise a lot of stuff. Anyway, we'll look forward to, if you find a way forward on that, we'd be glad to partner with you on that too.
Appreciate that.
Thanks for your presentation.
Can I just
clarify
something? Suzanne just mentioned me. I just want to make sure it's right. The projects 1 through 11, four of which are being funded, were actually forward funded. So this is just money the state owes.
These projects are under construction or complete. They are completed. They did forward fund, and so we are reimbursing now.
Or not reimbursing.
Right. We have to. We are. Yeah. None of these are liable to become PAYGO only projects until, I believe, 2 years from now. Is that correct?
Yeah.
A year and a half.
So these have to be funded this in this budget or the next.
Right.
Or it'll cost a lot more.
Correct.
And that, as you're, of course, aware, we have a long-standing tradition of fully funding projects because we're growing so much and have great needs.
I must say, it just strikes me, and I do understand. I do understand our situation, absolutely. But I have never seen so many Bs. I mean, usually you find some reason to put a C on it. Instead,
we look hard.
A B acknowledges that these are perfectly appropriate projects and ought to be done, and there simply are the funds at the moment. I mean, it's really a lot of them.
I just wanted to direct your attention to the chart.
Yep.
As I leave at the end of my.
No, there are more. There have been more funds dedicated to school construction in the last 8 years, 7 years than anyone dreamed of before. But the need.
Yeah, and if I may, I mean, you know, coming into the state only 3 years ago, seeing both at the local level, Montgomery County, and at the state level, the commitment to school construction funding is
extraordinary.
Is there. It is. You know, the charts show it with the same level, and yet. And still, we're growing with so much that it's not enough. So we're coming forward. It is not to suggest that much hasn't been done at the state level, also by a county executive, but there's just such a great need that we have.
When the state goes to the bond market with a general obligation bond, as we will in March, usually over 60% of the funding is for elementary, secondary, or community colleges and higher ed.
We very much appreciate the commitment.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Stark. Thank you all.
Thank you.
All right, Howard County.
Yes, thank you.
You know, he said
a little step I can put him right here.
He likes doing it.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. All right, Howard County.
Good afternoon, Governor.
Good afternoon.
Comptroller Franco.
Hi.
Treasurer Kopp. I'm Renee Foos, Superintendent of Schools for the Howard County Public School System. I want to first off say thank you for the approval of the $14 million in state funding that you initially funded out of our initial allocation of our request of $29 million. Howard County is continuing to experience an expanding student population in terms of both numbers and diversity. Growth along the Route 1 corridor and in downtown Columbia continues to increase the existing pressures on our school facilities, with many of these schools being served by multiple relocatable classrooms. Approximately 9,000 additional residential units have been permitted in the Route 1 corridor alone, with many of those units already in various stages of construction. Duckett's Lane Elementary School opened this past August, and it's already at capacity. We're opening a new middle school this fall, and it's already at 50% capacity, and we definitely are going to need to open a new middle school to service the Route 1 corridor population no later than 2019. The revitalization of downtown Columbia has begun, and we know that there are over 5,500 new residential units being added to that area. While it's not included in this year's request, we have requested the IAC consider approving the replacement of Wild Lake Middle School to help accommodate the anticipated growth in Columbia. Should it be approved, we've already received a letter of commitment for grant funding from the Maryland Energy Administration to design it as one of the first net zero schools in Maryland. And we'd be very proud to be the first net zero school in Maryland.
Cool.
The graphic that we included in your packet illustrates how much progress we have made demonstrating environmental responsibility and reducing operating costs over the last several years. Our annual fiscal 2013 utility costs were $6 million lower than they were in 2010. We continue to balance the need for new classroom seats with maintaining the condition of our existing physical plant and continue to make capital improvements that will reduce life cycle operating costs as some of the systemic projects in this year's request reflect. There are three areas that we're here really to talk to you about today. First one is Deep Run Elementary School, which is LEA priority number 5, renovation and addition. We're requesting the remainder of the funding for this project to be provided to enable the project to proceed for bidding in spring of 2014. The second one is Patuxent Valley Middle School, priority number 6. It's a renovation and addition, and the schematic design documents have been submitted for review to the State Department of Education. And we're requesting the project status be upgraded to enable funding, which will allow the project to proceed to bidding in fall of 2014. And the third area is Centennial High School and Wild Lake High School, priorities number 8 and 9. Both are roof replacements. The taxpayers of Howard County have supported school construction over many years. While not all locally funded projects have met the criteria for state funding, Howard County has consistently funded more than 70% of the total capital requirements for the school system, requiring other needs within the county to be deferred. While we understand the constraints that factor into the calculation of funding eligibility, we ask that you consider the magnitude of local investment prior to making your final decisions. And I want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to present our views and for your patience today. This is almost as fun as a school board meeting. I want to introduce our board chairman, Ellen Flynn Giles.
And I want to congratulate you all on the tremendous efforts. I mean, Howard County, your county government really steps up. I mean, some of the other counties do not step up. They'll come here and they'll say, we really want you to do more for us, but they're not doing more for themselves. But Howard County, the reason you're able to, the reason you've succeeded as you have is because your county government maximizes the progress possible by stepping up on their end of the equation, I think safe to say. Yes, David?
We do.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm Ellen Flynn Giles, Chairman of the Howard County Board of Education, and I'm happy to be here to advocate on behalf of our 51,000 students. And I echo your support for our county support. In Howard County, education is the number one priority, and that's embraced by everyone across the board. In preparing for our capital budget, our mandate is to provide an educational environment that allows every Howard County student to achieve. Today's challenging economic climate doesn't lessen that charge. At the same time, we are keenly mindful of our fiduciary responsibilities to our community, and we are committed to ensuring that every dollar invested brings a maximum return in value to the instructional process. We maintain one of the lowest levels of overhead among Maryland school systems. We take an aggressive approach to cost containment through a combination of process improvement, high-performance construction, and energy conservation throughout our organization. We're very proud of process improvement efforts in our maintenance department. We've created an internal retro commissioning team to bring older buildings back to baseline design commissions. This has earned us $15,000 in rebates per building from BG&E, and the total to date is $1.1 million. Moving forward, our ongoing cost containment programs will bring nearly $6 million in utility savings in FY15, and we anticipate another $500,000 on our condition-based maintenance. Energy conservation and sustainability measures have been embraced by students and staff throughout the system. Nearly two-thirds of our schools have been recognized as green schools for their innovative programs, and I know the governor remembers learning how to assess pH levels while goggled up at Dunlogan, our only green ribbon school, one of two national schools in the country. LEED standards guide all construction planning, and every new construction or renovation project is designed to achieve LEED eligibility. Recent tragedies affecting schools and communities bring student safety into sharp focus. This year, more than $1 million in state-funded capital improvements have been approved to significantly enhance security in many of our elementary and middle schools. These include buzzer systems and front office layout modifications that prevent unauthorized access and the enclosure of open space areas to create more secure and efficient classrooms. We're grateful to you for all your support, and we thank you for your careful consideration of our appeal.
Thank you.
I want to thank Dr. Foose. I love your background. You were in the state police before you were superintendent, and you've done a fabulous job up in Howard. And Mrs. Giles, thank you for the board leadership. Just a quick question. Do you have any geothermal heating and cooling?
Absolutely. And if you'd like particular detail, Ken Roy, who's our chief facilities officer, can answer what those are.
We have multiple systems. All of our renovations going forward are designed as geothermal systems.
Excellent.
And we have a number already in operation.
Excellent. Thank you.
Can I mention something to you? On the school breakfast front, you guys only have 36% of your lunch-eligible people, students that participate in breakfast. That's a huge delta of opportunity. It's 4,994 kids.
Governor, I think the numbers, thank you for the help that you've given us, but we have taken a very aggressive approach to the whole child. We provide breakfast to all of our children in all of our schools every day. Huh. This is a matter of students selecting not to eat breakfast. And we went so far as to think maybe they're bypassing the cafeteria. So now we have it in the classrooms when they get there. And the custodians don't like that because then they have to take all that food right back. But we have made a very concerted effort to make sure that all of our children have the opportunity to eat breakfast. And we now have a huge campaign underway where we are looking at choices that students can make to eat healthier options within our schools. And a lot of that money isn't coming necessarily federally. We're absorbing that cost in our operating budget. We share your commitment.
And what's the matter here?
Well, great job with schools participating in Maryland Meals for Children.
Yeah, I think you need to come up.
And
some of us are not as well acquainted with these programs as we should be. Maybe it's an opportunity.
Sure. So I would say great job on behalf of this jurisdiction.
Can I identify yourself for the record?
I'm sorry. I'm Ann Sheridan. I'm the executive director of the Governor's Office for Children. And along with commitment from the governor and a host of other advocacy groups around the state and people interested in supporting academic achievement, we've had the partnership to end child hunger in Maryland for a number of years. And a key part of this has been a state-funded program called Maryland Meals for Achievement, which this jurisdiction has participated in successfully and energetically, which is great. But I think we have to think on a school-by-school basis of how we can still...
So what's the reason for them having the lowest participation percentage of any school system we've seen so far today? Why is it that King County can do 94% and Howard County is at 36% with so many more kids?
I think we should still be looking at a school-by-school basis on what are the barriers for kids to get breakfast and be crafting solutions to those on a school-by-school basis. And there's still lots of help available to the district to do that, and we're here to help you do that.
All right. So we don't know on a school-by-school basis? What's your...
It can be school schedules. It can be the fact that... when you get to school and are not getting to your classroom without the opportunity to get a meal in between when you get to school and when you get to the classroom. It can be a lot of sort of logistical things, and it can be also just not truly trying to make breakfast part of the school day.
So are you guys satisfied with where you are in your achievement gap?
There's always room to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's always room to grow. And am I personally satisfied? No. And have we developed a strategic plan around making sure that we are eliminating achievement gap? Yes. Do we have some of the same problems other counties have? No. We are much farther along with narrowing our achievement gaps among all student groups and across all grade levels and across all different data points. And we use a multitude of assessments to make sure that we are, in fact, using assessments to measure and monitor how we are eliminating our achievement gaps.
Okay. Mr. Crenshaw.
I could be completely off base here, but, Governor, I think the fact that this is one of the richest counties in the United States of America, it doesn't surprise me that I guess some of these kids are not taking advantage of whatever it is, it's there. I mean, it's no...
What I was talking about was not the overall population. I was talking about the school lunch eligible. In other words, the delta of kids that are school lunch eligible.
Right.
And yet not getting breakfast. So only 36% of the kids who are poor and get the school lunch eligibility aren't getting breakfast. And it's the largest gap, largest delta.
I would be stunned if that was the case up in Howard County, that you lead the state in hungry kids.
I'm saying it's in the percentage of kids that they do have, they are feeding the fewest. The fewest number are getting breakfast as a percentage, not as a gross number.
Governor, I'm going to assure you, the numbers you're looking at are last year's numbers.
Okay.
We do have breakfast available to every one of our children. It is optional for them to eat breakfast. And we have reduced the barriers that this woman was talking about insofar as kids coming to school and bypassing the cafeteria or late buses and that. We have breakfast in our classrooms for those
Good.
Schools where those barriers exist.
Cool.
We do not want hungry children.
So maybe these are a year behind?
Yes.
Okay. You've made changes in the last year?
Yes, we have.
Awesome.
Aggressive
Great.
Changes.
Would love to see him.
Can I introduce the rest of the folks?
Sure.
Our board vice chair, Ann DeLacy. You met Ken Roy. Excellent. And we also have board member Sandra French.
Hello. Thanks for your patience.
Can I ask Dr. Lieber a question for you? These, the roofs. Roofs, or what, those things up on top.
Roofs.
Thank you. They're all deferred due to inadequate roof inspection reports. What is that about?
Well, we have a policy that roofs have to be inspected twice a year, and there has to be evidence of that. When they submit a roof project, we were asked for the last three roof inspections.
They didn't submit the evidence?
They didn't show that they were inspecting them on a biannual basis. And so we understand that they are inspecting their roofs, but that going forward, you know, that is something.
So is this something that the superintendent can pull together with the reports and send them?
Well, if the reports exist, yes, they could be submitted, and hopefully they do exist. We certainly consider them if they are submitted to us.
We did submit some supplementary information. It wasn't in the state prescribed form, but there was some supplementary information that we provided to Dr. Lieber's office. And so, you know, we are, again, improving the process going forward to make sure we have the right form and that we're.
So, I mean, if that's the issue regarding Centennial and wildlife, for instance.
We've had this policy has been in place for some time. We've given quite a few passes in recent years, and we've decided that it has been out there long enough that it was time to truly enforce it. The roofs have to be inspected twice a year, and so we are being very rigorous about that.
If they're not being inspected properly, that's one thing. If it's simply getting the evidence together, that's serious too, but it's another thing.
Correct.
I mean, you don't want roofs caving in on people. Mm-hmm. Or roofs.
Again, we understand the concern, and we... Again, we have had people up on the roofs. We've provided the evidence that we have. You know, we know how important the roofs are, and spending a significant amount of our maintenance dollars on maintaining and replacing those roofs.
Well, maybe by May, there'll be some roof reports.
Governor?
Yes, sir.
Could I also just thank the superintendent? I've obviously visited a few times, and the exceptional volunteer award I gave to Lisa Schlossnagel. And then I was lucky enough to meet Jaden Kelly from Rockburn Elementary, Sarah Cooper from Glenwood Middle, and Caitlin Motley from Howard High School. Fabulous ambassadors for the county as far as their artwork. So thanks.
They were delighted to receive your awards. Lisa Schlossnagel still talks about it. One of our parents in the community. Very, very honored.
Thank you.
Thank you all very
Thank
much.
You.
Thank you. Hartford
Thanks.
County. Hartford County. Hartford County.
Excuse me.
Yes,
we had heard that the personnel from the school district would not be here, but I wasn't sure if the county executive might be here.
Okay.
Perhaps we could go on to the next, to Dorchester, and then...
Sure, we can go on to Dorchester. We'll hold Hartford for now. Thanks for the patience.
Absolutely. Good afternoon, Governor O'Malley, Comptroller Franchot, Treasurer Kopp, Dr. Lieber, and staff. Pardon me. I am Dr. Henry Wagner, Superintendent of Dorchester County Schools, and I appreciate this opportunity to speak on behalf of the Board of Education, the County Council, and the students of Dorchester County, who are also accomplishing many great things, including a graduation rate that's now within a percentage point of the state average. And we're in the middle tier of the state in AP participation and pass rate. And we're very proud of that. In attendance with me today are Mr. Philip Bramble, President of our Board of Education, Lorraine Henry, Glenn Bramble, and Glenn Payne, Board of Education members,
County Councilman Rick Price, and Mr. Dwayne Knapp, Assistant Superintendent for Administration. Bless you. We are seeking your support for critically important projects impacting both our current infrastructure and the long-term future of our school district. Dorchester County is a very small school system, but we have been fortunate to have been able to replace or renovate several facilities in recent years, thanks to the funding partnership between the State of Maryland and the Dorchester County Council. Specifically, in reference to your chart, we have replaced our two comprehensive middle schools and constructed an expanded Dorchester Career and Technology Center in the last 12 years, all using geothermal HVAC technology.
Wow.
This expansion has afforded our students 9 new high-tech career and technology completer opportunities to go along with the 11 that existed previously. We appreciate the efforts made by the state and our local county council to provide these state-of-the-art facilities for our students. However, we continue to have a great many needs at other schools in our county, and unfortunately, local resources are not available for major projects at this time. Nevertheless, there are avenues for advancing our long-range capital improvement plan, and those are in the areas of roof replacements and planning approval for a replacement high school. With respect to roof replacements, we are seeking the remaining $200,000 needed to replace a 23-year-old roof at South Dorchester School, which has recently required emergency repairs. Any other option but replacement would not be cost-effective. With respect to planning approval for replacing North Dorchester High School, we are struggling to maintain a 60-year-old campus that has long ceased to be efficient from an educational adequacy, deferred maintenance, energy efficiency, and safety and security perspective. In short, the facility is no longer meeting the multifaceted needs of our school community in that region of our county. Planning approval costs the state no funding at this time, but at least gets the ball rolling on what could easily be a 5 or 6 year process. Also, with respect to safety and security issues, we initiated a countywide Safe Schools Committee 7 years ago to review the needs of each school and to take steps to promote a safer environment for our students. This group includes school representatives, central office staff, law enforcement and public safety partners, along with parents and other community members. In addition to complying with the required state Safe Schools plan each year, every school in Dorchester County conducts a variety of drills involving student, staff, and public safety officials. These include monthly fire drills, safe-in-place drills, lockdown drills, off-site evacuation, earthquake drills, and tornado drills. All such exercises are monitored by our law enforcement and public safety partners. Additionally, utilizing the recent special funding for safety and security, we have been able to move forward with several identified best practices. These include retrofitting classrooms and other safe havens within the school buildings with door locking hardware, video monitoring equipment, communications equipment, and district-wide visitor identification and management systems. Slight modification to the written testimony here. Also, the majority of our schools will have controlled and secure front entry to the building by the end of this school year. The exception is North Dorchester High School, the school for which we're seeking planning approval, which is a 5-building campus configuration. Finally, our two high schools do have full-time school resource officers, but the rest of our schools depend on local and county law enforcement when assistance is needed. Our Board of Education is working with the Safe Schools Committee to utilize the limited available resources to make improvements. I'm also the PZAM representative on the new School Safety Governing Board, and we appreciate the fact that that has been created and the work that that board is going to do to coordinate safe schools initiatives across the state. Dorchester County is also hopeful that the Partnership for School Construction and Energy Initiatives will continue. Finally, please bear in mind that with a continued decline in our local tax base and high unemployment, local resources are just not available for many improvements in our school system at this time. In conclusion, Dorchester County looks forward to a favorable review of these nominal funding and planning requests by the state. And to be proactive to what you're going to talk about, Governor, we calculate our breakfast participation as 75% of farm eligible this year. We deliver the food to the classrooms in Title I schools, and we have a grab-and-go arrangement in all the other schools.
You guys are doing great. I have you at 80%.
Okay, then you're right, I'm wrong. And we adjust the teaching schedule as needed, so the students do have an opportunity to finish breakfast. So we thank you again for this opportunity and for your longstanding support of our children. Should you have any questions for me or my staff who are here, we are at the ready.
Thank you. Questions? Yes. Mr. French.
Thank you, Dr. Guthrie. I don't have any concerns with the substance of Dorchester County School Construction Funding Request. Dr. Lever, in fact, has spent some time drawing my attention to the urgent situation in North Dorchester High School, an aging school that for all intents and purposes is functionally obsolete. But I'd like to go back and revisit an issue, frankly, Mr. Superintendent, that you and the school board have been dealing with, and that's a proposal by a nonprofit entity called the Eastern Shore Charter School Alliance to construct and operate a public charter school in Cambridge. This project was spearheaded by Mr. William Ackridge, the son of Chip Ackridge, an Eastern Shore resident who is one of this country's most prominent business leaders and one of our nation's most important philanthropists, a man who has devoted countless dollars and years of his life to restoring our National Mall to its former grandeur. The school would be a non-selective, tuition-free public school that is open to any middle school-age child in Dorchester County. It comes with the promise of small classes, highly qualified teachers, state-of-the-art technology. Every child would get their own laptop computer, for instance, and personalized tutoring and instruction, all with the purpose of providing student-centered learning in precisely those disciplines that children will need in order to compete in the information-driven economy. I had the privilege of reviewing the very extensive application that Mr. Ackridge submitted to the Board of Education, and I must say it was one of the most thorough, detailed, innovative planning documents I've ever read. And as I mentioned earlier, any sensible person would recognize that the resources would be there in abundance to carry out this remarkable vision. As it stands now, however, the plans for this remarkable public school to open in one of Maryland's most economically depressed, financially exhausted communities, all intents and purposes, are dead. Because the Dorchester County Board of Education voted 4-0 last December to reject the application, because we're being asked here today to approve another round of taxpayer money for the Dorchester County Public Schools, I have serious unresolved questions about the judgment of those who would be in charge of receiving and spending that money. So, Dr. Wagner, I'll be brief. There are a couple of questions I have on this subject. First, were you aware that the Public Charter School Alliance received in October a federal grant from the U.S. Department of Education in the amount of $685,767 towards the completion of this project, which, frankly, I think represents a considerable vote of confidence from federal policymakers, not to mention a rare instance when the U.S. Department of Education is actually doing the right thing? Why, in your estimation, would the federal government make an investment of this magnitude in a project that apparently you and the board described as half-baked and inadequate.
On behalf of the Board of Education, I'm compelled to share, first of all, that we would never be that flippant as to call it half-baked. That's not in any public document that we have produced. The December 19th meeting of the Board of Education of Dorchester County began with an opportunity for public comment with regard to the application for a charter school submitted by the Maryland Eastern Shore Charter School Alliance. During this part of the meeting, members of the African American community expressed their overwhelming opposition to the proposed charter school. 17 of the 18 speakers urged the board to reject the application, with Mr. William Ackridge being the only speaker in favor of the charter school. Specifically, leaders of the NAACP, Ministerial Association, Harriet Tubman Center, a member of Mr. Ackridge's own executive board, and the community at large voiced their strong objections to many elements of the application, indicating to the Board of Education that there is a fundamental lack of community support for this proposal. Following the public comments portion of the meeting, the board accepted my recommendation not to approve the application. This recommendation was based on a finding on the part of the Divisions of Instructional and Administrative Services of substantial deficiencies in the application. Among these were the statement of need and a corresponding inability to delineate the affected population, organizational viability, including transportation, finances, human resources, educational leadership, and school governance structure, academic viability, including accommodations of special needs students and student services mechanisms, school characteristics, including instructional delivery and innovations. Furthermore, in addition to these deficiencies, a reallocation of resources totaling more than $1.5 million over the next 3 fiscal years to the charter school in a county the size of Dorchester would render it impossible for us to reduce class sizes, acquire the technology necessary to administer the park assessments, and or provide nominal raises for our employees. Finally, it is our position that the status of the charter school application is mutually exclusive of our capital proposals to this Board of Public Works.
Okay. Apparently the statement in the preamble that got the most attention was a statement that said the students that Dorchester Prep intends to serve are fighting against, in many cases, generations of failure and loss of hope. Apparently, because that was such an objectionable statement, I went and looked at some of the statistics in Dorchester County. Dorchester County Public Schools served 358,425 free lunches, only 124,143 paid lunches, a ratio of nearly 3-to-1, one of the widest gaps between free and paid lunches anywhere in the state, higher than Caroline, higher than Allegheny, higher than Garrett. According to the State Department of Education High School Graduate Questionnaire, only 123 of your 279 graduates who responded to the questionnaire said they plan to go on to college full-time, which made Dorchester County the only one among 24 school systems in which fewer than half of its graduates plan to attend college. 9.1%, Dorchester County's unemployment rate is the third highest in the state. The median income is 36.7% below the statewide average. Percentage of people living in poverty is 69.1% above the statewide average. So I guess I find it a little bit hard to understand why you and the board could not sit down with members of the community and explain to them that there are tremendous economic challenges in Dorchester County, and that this could have been, since I consider it to be in the past, an opportunity based on the federal government's enormous good housekeeping seal of approval to this proposal for Dorchester to do something that was helpful to the community. Apparently, you all have made your minds up. I don't know what happened down there, but I'll tell you that my sense is that you had a young man from Talbot come down who had a very good idea, and it wasn't somebody else's idea in that area. And I hope that he moves on and goes to a county which will open its arms and understand that this is a school that has great potential. And, boy, did anybody on the board put your hand up and just say, could we please focus and understand exactly what this proposal is about? This is to help people. This is not something that is subject to this kind of, you know, treatment. And I guess the U.S. Department of Education has just got, you know, no credibility here as far as its money, and I guess everybody else's intentions are questioned. But, boy, does that stick in my throat as far as the treatment of that proposal. And it's going to stay with me a long time.
I regret that you feel that way.
Does anyone have the courage to stand up and speak the facts?
We regret that you feel that way, Comptroller Franco. The fact is that this board and staff did due diligence and its duty in thoroughly reviewing the application. I just read the areas of deficiency to you. And precisely because we're not blessed with an abundance of resources, we have to be very careful about our decisions on how we allocate them. And it was our professional and considered and thoroughly researched opinion that this application had too many deficiencies and the opportunity costs for other things that we're all saying are critical, reducing class size. And like I said, $1.5 million in a county our size is a critical amount of money. And the matter isn't settled yet. The matter is under appeal to the State Board of Education. So, we'll follow process as we have followed it all the way up through now. So I regret that you're disappointed.
First of all,
if I may just address the issue of the federal infusion. There's an issue of supplanting. The federal money can't supplant the fundamental cost of the charter school per capita in our district. The federal money would have been an enhancement and probably used in the realm of technology. I again state, as I did last year, we welcome an opportunity to partner with Mr. Ackridge and have sat down with him on numerous occasions, have vetted this proposal, and have treated him fairly. We gave him the opportunity, after you challenged us last year, to sit with our executive staff and work out a way to work with us in a partnership arrangement, and he walked away from that, sir.
Well, first of all, the federal government picking that application out of all the thousands of applications and obviously making it, giving it a special supplemental amount of money in a grant, my understanding is it was viewed as one of the finest applications in the country. I guess the other thing they ran into trouble with was they said something about the fact that there was going to be when students choose, this is what really got me. Apparently in the preamble he said, when students choose to break the rules, teachers will use firm and consistent negative consequences, but only as a last resort. Dorchester County's effective discipline plan will be applied fairly to all students. So can anybody up there tell me where they find that comment objectionable, that students who break the rules will be held accountable, that it will be only a last resort, not a first resort, if there are any negative consequences, and the plan will be applied fairly to all students and not in an arbitrary and discriminatory manner. Is that
all I can tell you?
Why is that so inflammatory?
I'm not going to speak for our African American community. They spoke very eloquently on December 19th. I will tell you, they vetted this application independent of any coaching or any attempt on our part to interfere. We followed process precisely because we're driven by process so that we're not arbitrary and capricious. The African-American community was offended by the way that Mr. Ackridge proffered this project in the community. He gave out soup on street corners, got people to sign documents. They came to the board meeting and said, we didn't know what we were signing. Now, we have no role in that. But that's the target population he wants to reach, and he's poisoned the well with them.
Well, my well's not doing so good either.
We regret that, sir.
Trust me.
But we act on principle, and you know we're making the best possible decisions we can as a Board of Education and a school system.
So, in conclusion, what I hear, I guess, is that this is all just one big political exercise.
I don't think we've said that at all, sir. I think what we've said is we followed process. It's anything but a political exercise. You know, we're trying to keep politics out of it. That's why we said that this particular issue isn't the purview of the Board of Public Works. You can say something, President Graham?
Yes. May I make a comment, if I may address Governor O'Malley? And Governor O'Malley, I just on a completely different note, I want to say that we miss you and O'Malley's march at the Avalon Theater in Easton, and we look forward to your coming down again soon.
Well, thank you, and God bless your great taste in music.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. On this funding that we've asked for today.
Yes, sir.
My sister was the first one to graduate from that school in 1955. It opened in 1954. I was on the county council from 1998 to 2002. And like our superintendent said, it's a campus-style school. And one building was a science building. I pushed to have that renovated. And it got through with the help of the state of Maryland. And I appreciate that. And I always think when I get a project through, I go to the site where the contractors work. And I did that as a county councilman for Dorchester County. I went to the site. And the guy says to me back then, he said, you finally got into the new century with this one building. So with that, my daughter graduated from there, and I graduated from there. So I think we need to start rolling on. And I have a grandson coming from there. And my wife was a school teacher, a special ed school teacher, and excellent, very good at what she did. You know, she was recommended highly, very highly, with the superintendents that she worked for. And I would certainly appreciate this money for the, you know, for the money that we've asked for. I don't think we're asking for the sky. We're just asking for money and to get these schools improved. And like I said, even my son-in-law graduated from that school, who went to Frostburg State College and was a pitcher, all-star pitcher.
That's good.
You know, so I appreciate everything that's good. And Governor O'Malley, I appreciate the money that we got for the new tracks in late in North Dorchester a couple years ago. It's been there since 1955, and it never had a track or never had lights for the students to be out there and play at night. And they, when the first lights and game they had started in, they thought it was excellent. And I certainly want to thank you for that help.
Oh, thank you.
And Comptroller Franchot, we continue to appreciate your programs that acknowledge fine volunteerism, fine student performance in the arts, and exemplary employees, the Golden Apple Awards and so forth. We thank you for those efforts to acknowledge positive procedures, and I hope we can disagree in an agreeable fashion.
Well, I'm done on that.
Could I ask a question about, I don't know whether it's Dr. Lever or State Planning, about the North Dorchester replacement. The deferral of planning recommended pending approval of feasibility study and priority funding area waiver. What is the timing on that? And what?
Mm-hmm. Feasibility study is required for a replacement project, and particularly important in this case because, as a gentleman said, they've made considerable investment in the science classrooms. They have certain components of the facility that could be retained and reused, but it isn't possible to do it all under one project as we see it now. That has to be investigated and studied. And a feasibility study, even if it weren't required on our part, would be highly advisable for this particular project. But it is a requirement on our part.
I think my question was the timing.
The timing, I understand the feasibility study is underway. Do we know when we'll receive that? Okay. That's critical because we would be can't recommend the planning approval until we receive that, but also the waiver on the priority area funding.
Will come when they do that as well.
Yes. The idea is to replace the school with an increase of capacity. It's outside of a priority funding area. By our regulation, that means that they must request a waiver under the regulation that was approved.
So when did they request the waiver? Not until they're finished with the...
No, it's part of the planning process.
But my only question was the timing, Alice.
Well, we have not seen that request.
An okay.
They haven't committed the PFA waiver request.
It's up to you guys.
Anything else?
Governor?
Yes, sir.
Controller? Treasurer? My name is Glenn Bramwell. I sit on the Board of Education. Board? I'd just like to make a few comments about the charter school. I'm sure the rest of them can attest to the same fact, but there were several hundred pages, small print of my debt in a lot of them, with background. And I for one, and I can feel sure everyone else did, but Controller, you asked if anyone wants to speak up, so I will. I did my homework on that, and off and on for about 2 weeks. And also verify the information that was furnished or supplied into that document. To give you a little bit of history, I agree with our superintendent's decision and or his recommendation, but I found other discrepancies in there as well, taking out of the equation the people that spoke up against it. I must say, I for one, and there were several people in the very beginning of the hearings, if that school could be designated for the truly kids that need it at their choice, I'd be the first one to raise my hand up. But under the way the charter schools are set up, it's not that way. It's a lot of. So you can't necessarily say that. But I wanted to touch issue on something else. I'm a general contractor, and I did 90% of the major remodeling for the building in question that they were looking to relocate. And I can tell you, I'm not a CPA, but I speak numbers, and particularly on construction. And the numbers that were in there for the renovation of that place, let alone the sprinkler system, stairway, and so forth, because I'd already put one stairway in there, and I designed that building from the original. It was originally Merle, actually People's Bank and Merle National Bank and so forth. So the numbers were nowhere near of what they proposed in their budget. Now, you can say, or anyone can, that someone can step up to the plate and donate money. But I look at the numbers that's allocated for the renovation of that, and it's not there. So that was one issue. The other issue is, working up there off and on for over a year, they were talking about phys ed, outside activities. There is no area. It's a parking lot around the back that might house 6 or 7 vehicles. And you're right on three corners. So the facilities itself in question was not the best location, but I'm just saying, I for one looked at all the issues there among everything that was mentioned into it. And I just could not see at this juncture that it was the best, you know, for the kids, being so the public spoke out against it. And I want to reiterate again, at the meeting it was kind of opened up that he would join partners with Dorchester County Public Schools, Ms. Ackridge, and work with us. But I didn't materialize. So, again, I wanted to voice that, and I'm sorry that that's the way it is, and maybe some people are dissatisfied or unhappy, but I have to vote what I feel like is the best for the children and the taxpayers of Dorchester County. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. Good afternoon. It is afternoon.
Oh, it's almost evening.
It's almost evening, yeah. Governor O'Malley, I really believe that you understand the situation in Dorchester County. Many times we've visited and we've shared. It's at a point where the board sat for many hours trying to decipher which way to go. But when the community came forth in numbers that really, really had us startled. And so looking at what the superintendent has told you. He's told you thoroughly what the problems were. And we're going to follow due process, as he has said, because we are concerned about all children in Dorchester County, believe me. And we know that there are children there that need lots of help. As it stands today, we are still looking forward to what we can do to make every child a success that's not out of the picture.
Right there with you.
Thank you. Councilman?
One more, Governor, please.
Sure.
Governor, Comptroller, Madam Treasurer, other members of the board, Rick Price of the Dorchester County Council. And I promise to be brief and as quick as I possibly can, but I do want to support this board in the request for consideration of a new North Dorchester High School. Now 61 years old, the building has become antiquated and poses numerous challenges to those who depend on it day to day. A growing student population, along with staff, and now with college classes being added, have to deal with conditions connected to leaks, mold, well and septic, groundwater, heating, cooling, parking lot maintenance, and the day-to-day of instructional and athletic programs that incur usage day-to-day 9 months out of the year. The area that this high school currently serves is seeing a growing population, and part of the future student population is going to be coming from a growing Hurlock Elementary School, Warwood School, and Secretary and Vienna School. Populations in all those districts have grown in the last census. And this growing population will see a need for a new high school. And I just stand before you today asking you for every consideration to assist our county in accomplishing completing this new high school. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Price.
Yes, ma'am.
My understanding from reading this, and maybe I'm wrong, Superintendent, is that it's at the moment being deferred, recommend a pending approval of a feasibility study, which has to be completed by the school system and submitted, and approval of a priority funding area waiver at the local level, which is dependent on the feasibility study, as I understand it. So the way I read this, it's in your all court, and that's why I was asking what the timing was. It's not that anybody here that I've heard said that you don't need the school.
The design part of it, which my understanding is comes first, is being considered by our entire county council in
okay.
the current
that's all I'm saying
budget
is
plans
like
for FY15.
And a phasing issue, and it ought to be done before this whole funding cycle is over if you want consideration and approval for the planning, which then goes into the next stages. That's all. No one's arguing.
Yes, ma'am, I understand your question, but it's under
yeah.
consideration by our council for the design
okay.
piece.
It is in
yeah.
We are in
okay. I don't want you to think that people sitting here are opposed to a high school in Dorchester.
Well, not at all, ma'am. Not at all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Thanks very much for your patience. Hartford County.
Thank you, Treasurer Kopp, Comptroller Franco, and Governor. It's good to be here before you. First, let me
identify yourself for our record.
I'm Delegate Rick Inflaria. I am the chair of the Hartford County delegation. And with me is Councilwoman Lasanti. Joining me also is Ben Lloyd, who represents County Executive David Craig, who could not be here because of personal issues. And also we have Manley Calhoun, who is a legislative person for Ms. Lasanti. It's been interesting and enjoyable sitting here watching you do your work today. So let me start with that. Hartford County is a very small county, and today we had some large problems with ice and down power lines. So unfortunately, that is the reason why we are here representing the county to get they rather than the county executive and other people from the Board of Education and from the school system. So I apologize for that. We were called at last minute. But because it is a small county, the issues that we're going to speak to you about are very near and dear to our heart. I can tell you, Youth Benefit Elementary School is a school that my son attended up in Falston. Now, you know, Youth Benefit had a problem at one time that they needed a traffic light at the school, and my son was called to the office, and to go to the office, he had to walk from one building to another building because it's two separate buildings. And he got in the office, and they said, look, Ricky, you need to go home, talk to your father. We need this traffic light. We seriously need this traffic light. You got to get it done for us. And fortunately, we did get that done. So he's a powerful young man. He even got the Japanese delegation to come over and visit the governor and get him to sign a proclamation to allow reindeer into the state of Maryland. So we know the school needs what it needs, and we're going to ask for that for Youth Benefit Elementary School. I, small county once again, I graduated from Joppatown High School and needs to be able to move forward with its plannings. It's an old school. It is in need of repairs, and those plans need to be set forth so that in the future we can begin on the needs of Joppatown High School. And Joppatown High School was seen as one of the most diverse schools in the state of Maryland, was recognized for that. And it's a school that works very well, has a magnet program for cybersecurity. And Harford County, as you know, does a very good job forward funding schools, using the money very wisely. There's really never been problems in Harford County on how we spend the money or how we upkeep the school. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Councilwoman Lasanti so she can speak to the school that's very important to her.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Governor, Comptroller, Treasurer, members of the board. It is indeed my honor to be here today to ask for your support for local planning for Havity Grace High School. I am not only the county council representative for that district, but I'm also the former 1985 class president of Havity Grace High School. So I can speak very dearly as a former student. And I also need to make regrets for the county executive, who is also an alumni of Havity Grace High School, and Mayor Wayne Daugherty, who wanted to be here, but we had some ice issues up in our community. But I wanted to bring to your attention the uniqueness of this particular school project. A couple of years ago, the Harford County Council funded a scope study to look at Havity Grace High School because, with your assistance, over the last 7 years during my tenure on the county council, we together have completed 37 improvement projects at our high schools, our middle schools, and our elementary schools. Havity Grace High School was one of the last ones to be done, which is kind of interesting because Havity Grace High School and Bel-Air are the two original schools in Harford County. This project is unique because it allows us to the opportunity to provide our local government with the opportunity to solve a public safety problem and a flood control problem that has plagued our community for really six decades. The campus that we currently have is bisected by a state highway and a county road. So our students right now have to close a road, allow the students to go from classroom to gym, and then they have to cross the state highway for their athletics field. The scope study that we did took a look at our entire parcel, which includes the middle school, and it's a redevelopment of that so that we can combine our middle school and our high school on the same parcel so our students don't have to walk in crossroads and be in an unsafe position. But this project has another element, and I think we've provided to you some diagrams of this project. You see, in the city of Havity Grace, we have an infrastructure problem. Like most old cities, we're a waterfront community, and as we have grown, we've grown up on the hill. And unfortunately, we have not taken care of our stormwater, and we have not taken care of our sediment. So all the stormwater runoff from the new development has come into our town and into a tributary of the Chesapeake Bay, Lily Run. Lily Run is a very unique creek that runs through the town. And unfortunately, every time it rains, it overflows. It cuts off access to our high school, to our middle school, to our elementary school, but most importantly, to our hospital. It's a very, very critical issue for us. We've been trying to solve this issue for a long time, but the problem is it's very expensive. So what we've been doing for the last 3 years is what I believe is the most cooperative effort that a jurisdiction could do. In order to solve this flood problem, the city of Havertys Grace commissioned a study. They spent about $250,000 to figure out how they could control this flood and get some water quality results. What we found out is the largest parcel, the only parcel that we could do this, is on the Board of Education property. So they entered into a cooperative agreement with the Board of Ed to try to solve this problem. They've gone so far now as to apply for a joint permit with the Corps of Engineers. This project, because of the uniqueness of it, where we're building a school, we're using that construction for green construction so that we have a recreational component, we have a public safety component, and we have a water quality and sediment control component, we've actually been able to get funding from outside sources. The Environmental Protection Agency, through their water quality plan, gave us a grant with the Center for Watershed Protection, and they actually developed at no cost to the city or the county a plan for us to meet our TMDL through this project. In addition, the National Fish and Wildlife Federation has contributed $100,000 to this project because they see the value, and of course Harford County and the city of Havertys Grace have as well. So this is more than a construction project. It is a way for us to solve a public safety problem, a flood problem, and get some benefits to our water quality and our sediments and erosion control. However, if you do not approve this local planning, we stop dead on the water, literally. And
hope not.
And we really want to move this project forward. So I.
And how much is it?
This is a request for planning approval at this stage. Okay. So we don't have an estimate at this point of state participation.
So, and it's being held up because of enrollment issues and approval of the feasibility study.
The feasibility study has been approved by the Board of Education for a combined high school and middle school.
We've reviewed the feasibility study, and it's the enrollment issue. And I think that what we've identified is that our policies on school construction, which are meant to provide the most efficient use of taxpayer dollars, are actually in conflict with other policies. I'd like Deputy Secretary Kahn to speak about this.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Lieber. This is, again, the conflict between the enrollment projections, which are low, up against the state's policy of community-based schools that are already existing. This is in a sustainable community, which is the targeted state revitalization zone. So what we're looking at is developing a pilot policy so schools like this can still move forward despite what might be lower enrollment projections.
And I can speak a little bit to the enrollment. Havertys Grace High School is the only school in Harford County that does not have a magnet program. And that is, with the combined middle school, high school, that's what we intend to do, because we're losing a lot of our best and brightest to other magnet programs. And we have the perfect opportunity with this project to develop a magnet school for environmental protection, to look, we're at the head of the Chesapeake Bay, we're better to look at the sediment and erosion control that's coming from the Conowingo Dam right where it lands at our waterfront.
So how long is all this going to take?
Well, I have a draft policy in hand, and we're working with Dr. Lieber to move this forward very quickly.
And so you're saying the feasibility study issue is not an issue?
We've resolved that. I think the critical issue is this policy, and it is on the fast track.
It absolutely is.
Fast track meaning by the end of the session,
yes.
By the next time we see it.
Yeah, we recognize the urgency of this project.
Now, you're at the head of the Chesapeake.
Yes.
And you're flooding already.
We're at the confluence of the Susquehanna River.
Right. So what are you going to do? You're going to build it in the way that the sea level rises a foot, 2 feet? You're prepared for all that?
Absolutely. We take that into consideration. And we probably know best about that because all of our waterfront construction, all of our planning and zoning in the city has been revised to prepare for that.
This particular site
is at a higher elevation.
And the councilwoman sits on the Chesapeake Bay.
Yes, that's why I was asking. Exactly. So this is actually a model of what other jurisdictions and other areas, including Washington, D.C.
We believe it is, and quite frankly, we believe it's a model not only for planning and for sustainable communities. It's also a model for how you fund stormwater. I hear that's the big thing that I hear among legislators. How are we going to fund this? You're going to fund it by thinking differently, by taking an opportunity like this and pulling funds from the Board of Education, the City of Havertys Grace, from the federal government, from public safety, from all of these areas to fund a project that is going to have the outcome that we're looking for.
Which is why we want this to go forward with planning approval. Mr. Dr. Lieber, we really want this one to go forward with planning approval.
Well, and the studies, the requisite study, feasibility study has been done and approved. So then it's a question of
getting the
planning.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
All righty. If I could
just thank Chairman Infilaria for coming up. You and I served for some time in the legislature, and I was there for 20 years, and I always wanted to be chair of the Montgomery County delegation. And they always said, you know, you're way too blunt to be the chairman. And here I'm looking at someone who is 10 times blunter than I ever was. And you, how did you get to be chairman?
And we love him.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a matter of time going by and smoothing out a little bit. And
I see that was
good. Yeah. Well, it's a pleasure to have you here, and Councilwoman, thank you. I just have a quick question, because you all have a problem that most counties would love to have. You have excess capacity.
Yes.
Because of the BRAC initiative, and the kids did not materialize as fast. I believe ultimately they'll be there. But, Dr. Lieber, this may be a question for you. What is the significance of having a surplus rather than a shortage for your review? Are we going to be able to take advantage of this surplus space?
The surplus space in...
Abundance of space, I guess, to put it mildly, as far as compared to others, other schools, other systems.
Seats available.
That's right. You see, that is the issue for us, because we look at adjacent schools under our standard policy. And if we take into account adjacent schools, there's an abundance of space.
Right.
They have presented some very good arguments about the actual ripple effect of redistricting. It would not just simply mean moving the kids from Havertys Grace into adjacent schools. It would actually have several ripple effects. But the policy that we're addressing here would try to consider the school in itself as a community school. We can't ignore that excess capacity in the long run, but we also understand the importance of a community school.
Well, if you could keep me in the loop as to the best possible use of that abundant space.
If I can follow up on that.
Yeah, sure.
Controller Francho, our delegation this year, you know, for years we have been looking for another VOTEC school to put into the Route 40 corridor, the old traditional VOTEC. And we realize that a delegation, that the state does not have that money. But there's something that we do have in Harford County. We have a VOTEC that's waiting in line to get into. Mm-hmm. And we have very successful magnet programs in Harford County. And it's come to the realization, if you can have high-tech magnet programs in individual schools, why can't we have magnet programs for electricians and plumbers and carpenters and air conditioners, people that need to go back in the trade? So believe me, we know what we want to do with the excess space in our schools. We want to be able to move students around Harford County to give them the options and the opportunities to take on jobs that people say people don't want to fill, but people do want to fill them. They don't have the training. We're looking at Northern Harford of having diesel repair up there, because someone has to fix that farm equipment. Without that farm equipment, none of us eat. So we want to keep kids living and working in Harford County, because Harford County is a beautiful place to be. I'm very proud to represent.
Mr. Comptroller, also I wanted to mention that as far as the excess capacity, right, the other thing that we are looking at, Harford Memorial Hospital is building a new hospital in Havertys Grace. And we as the county government with the state government have built a large nursing school at our community college. We are working with the community college and the leadership of the hospital and the leadership of the school system to see if we can do some type of nurse training program at the school as well. So that's another opportunity that we have.
Great. I just want to thank Hartford. It's a great part of the state. I gave a Golden Apple Award for volunteerism to Tina Mike, who's probably the lead person in the state of Maryland as far as teaching financial literacy to young people. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the hospitality. I also gave Maryland Masters Awards to John Viracula from Emerton Elementary, Alexis Waltz from Aberdeen Middle School, and Kenny Tartarona from, is it Milton Wright High School?
Right.
Yeah, so fabulous kids.
And sorry, great, I missed you on Monday.
Great ambassadors, that's okay. And I visited Red Pump Elementary, Youth Benefits Elementary School, and Pinecrest Elementary School in the last year. Appreciate the hospitality. Thank you.
We're glad to have you.
Can I mention to you, and I have a little packet here, there are currently in Hartford County 3,518 kids who, while they qualify for free or reduced lunch, do not get a free or reduced breakfast. So it's a fairly sizable little delta there. Y'all are at 62% of those eligible. In other
that's
words,
problematic.
And that woman right there is Ann Sheridan. She's our Secretary of Children, Youth, and Families.
Okay, we're gonna talk to you.
Yeah, and we've got some things. We're from the government. We're here to help.
Yeah.
We can.
Thank you for pointing that.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thank you. You have a good day.
You too, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for being here. Manly, good seeing you, pal. Okay. We are on overtime. Fuel. Charles? Charles County. We're on Charles County.
I'm going to say good evening. I have good afternoon written down here, but good evening, Governor O'Malley, Comptroller Franchot, and Treasurer Kopp. I am Roberta Wise, and I am Chairman of the Board of Education of Charles County. Before I begin, I would like to introduce our new Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Kimberly Hill, Assistant Superintendent of Supporting Services, Keith Heddle, and Jerry Barrett, the Coordinating Supervisor of Planning and Construction. Our request today is short. We are asking for final state construction funding for St. Charles High School. We appreciate the IAC recommendation for state approval this year of $6 million for St. Charles High School. However, we are here today to ask you to fund the additional balance of $12.02 million. By limiting our capital improvement program request to one project, we hope to reduce the financial burden our county government faces to forward fund the state's project share while awaiting state reimbursement over the next 2 to 3 years. We hope to improve the county's ability to fund renovations and to bring the same level of educational and building performance to our older facilities as is found in our latest schools. Construction of St. Charles High School is nearly complete, which is welcome news for a Board of Education that has worked since 2007 to secure funding and build a school that was first scheduled to open in 2011. We are pleased, despite the weather this winter, that construction is on target and the school will open in August 2014. St. Charles High School is a 21st century high school that combines the best in science and technology, adds a focus on space, and provides a model for green education. The school itself and a partnership with the local developer of a green community will provide the tools to educate students in sustainability and green curriculum and programs. Attached to the copies we provided for the board are recent photos of the school and a rendition of the Science Center, which has been named for our former superintendent, Mr. Richmond. As we open our new high school, we are also looking at our aging schools. Charles County, for many years, was one of the fastest-growing school systems in the state, causing us to focus solely on building to accommodate new students rather than renovations. Since 2005, Charles County Public Schools has built 5 schools, The last complete renovation of any of our schools was more than a decade ago in 2001 when we finished additions and renovations at Henry E. Lackey High School and J.P. Ryan Elementary School. During the past several years, our student population growth has slowed, and we are using this opportunity to plan for renovations as well as programming for new capacity. With the support of the Charles County Commissioners, we hired an independent consultant to survey and assess the renovation and addition needs of our 35 schools and two educational centers. That school survey work was completed in January, and we expect a draft report in late March or early April. The findings of the study will drive our capital improvements program as it relates to renovations and additions, capacity, and other construction needs for years to come. It will also prioritize the needs of our aging facilities. We continue to use local funding to replace equipment and maintain our aging school buildings. The IAC and the Board of Public Works has been supportive in our efforts in Charles County. We appreciate all you do to help us maintain quality facilities that provide our students a secure environment that optimizes opportunities for student success. We appreciate that the IAC has already recommended that the Board of Public Works approve $344,000 in funding to provide a heating and air conditioning system for La Plata High School gym. This will provide a standalone system for the gym, alleviating the problem of simultaneously cooling the gym and the auditorium. On behalf of the Board of Education, we pledge our commitment to working with you and our local and state officials. Further, we applaud your wisdom in recognizing that education is more than a priority. It is the key to the civic and economic vitality of this state. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Comptroller.
I thank Superintendent Hill for being here, and thank you, Madam Chairman of the Board, President of the Board. I just wanted to applaud. You have a volunteer of all volunteers down there in Charles County, a person named Christy Pringer. And, boy, if you see her, please give her a pat on the shoulder because she does just about everything. And
thank you,
fabulously effective volunteer. Extraordinaire.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for letting me come down to the county.
Certainly. We always welcome you, your visits. And we also would like to thank Dr. Lieber. Dr. David Lieber has really assisted us in helping our helping to assist our county commissioners in understanding the importance of focusing on some renovation projects. And I think without your presence at one of our adequate public facilities meetings, maybe this wouldn't have gotten the attention that it has gotten. So thank you, Dr. Lieber. We appreciate that. And we look forward to the results of that study.
Did you enjoy my visit?
I did. I love, you know, you visited J.C. Parks, and we were out in the wetlands. And we were traipsing through the woods.
Well, I thought you forgot about me.
I did not forget about you. You also visited us at North Point High School. You learned how to put a heart inside of a model. You did very well at that,
Thank
too.
Thank you.
You're always welcome in Charles County.
And the new science high school is exciting with the space focus, huh?
It is. It will have a standalone science center, which will service not only our students, but also our community. It'll hold science on a sphere as well as a digital classroom. It's going to be an amazing, amazing facility. We can't wait to get it open.
Can I encourage you to go and speak about it at the Space Roundtable? They meet every month, once a month in Greenbelt, and they're all businesses, large, medium, and small, that are involved
that
around NASA and and NASA Goddard and everything that they do, the Hubble, and they would really be jazzed to hear the story of what you guys have going. And I don't think anyone's ever gone to tell them, and they are, some of them might well turn out to be great business partners for school.
Sure. I would love that opportunity.
Hey, and also, as people say to us often, as long as I got you, you all are at 72% in terms of the kids eligible for lunch that are also receiving breakfast, which is not bad. In fact, it
exceeds our 70% statewide goal, but there's still 2,312 kids that are eligible for breakfast, don't get it, and Ann Sheridan, who will say hi to you.
Who visited you, visited us at North Point also. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you could help us cross that delta, Doc, we'd be grateful.
We'd be happy to do that. Thank you all very much.
Excuse my reach. Okay, next up is Allegheny County. Allegheny. How did you all make it and Frederick didn't? Thank you.
Ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Dr. David Cox. I'm Superintendent of Schools in Allegheny County. And I'm joined here by Board President Mrs. Larry Martini and our Director of Facilities, Mr. Vince Montano. So on behalf of the Board of Education and the children of Allegheny County, I would like to thank you, Governor O'Malley, Comptroller Franchot, Treasurer Kopp, for this opportunity to come and speak with you today, and to thank you also for the continuous support that you've given us over the years for the many projects that continue to benefit our students. Also note that we are very good stewards of those resources that you entrust us with, having received numerous awards for their care. Today, we are asking specifically for your continued support by funding the roof replacement at Washington Middle School. This project would replace the entire roof of that school. It was last replaced in 1991, and the useful life of that roof has been exceeded. And the second project that we'd like to speak to you about is one that we've talked about for the last couple of years, and that is the replacement of the 1925 Allegheny High School and its five additions. And so we're very excited about this project. We shared with you in previous years that the Board of Education has worked collaboratively with the Western Maryland Health System and the City of Cumberland in a land swap. We are building this school on the site of the vacated Braddock campus of Western Maryland Health System. We're in design with that project soon to demolish all the structures on the site to reclaim several acres of asphalt on top of Haystack Mountain to return to grass and to playing fields as we work on that project. Our architectural firm is Grimm & Parker. We're working with them currently on design, but most specifically on the documents to go out to bid for the demolition phase of the project. So what we're asking for is for funding for the construction phase. We've been approved in previous years for the planning and for the relocation of utilities. And so this year we ask you for the money to proceed with the project. We have completed the specifications for demolition. In this project, I mentioned the reclamation of lots of land, but also we plan to recycle a lot of the materials that will be a result of the demolition, namely the concrete. We will reuse a lot of the steel, and the schematic drawings are being submitted to, or have been submitted to the IAC. And the schedule would allow for us to bid the project about a year from now, in the first quarter of 2015. So the projects have received favorable recommendations from the IAC staff, and we've been approved by funding for our local county commission. So we would respectfully request from you today that the Board of Public Works approve the total funding for this project. And we thank you very much for your time and your consideration.
And the total amount of the funding is what, David?
The request is for $6,176,000. And the total worksheet over time would, at this point, be $26.776 million. So what we would want to do is look at the draw schedule and see what the actual draw would be during FY15. If the bid date is in, say, February, and notice to proceed is in 2 months later, you know, see what the draw schedule would be. So that would be a discussion we'll have with Mr. Fontaine.
Okay. What was the 700 based on?
We recognize there's going to be at least that much work. That is based on site mobilization, stormwater management, temporary utilities, temporary structures that are in place. So we know that that's going to be there.
How old is the building?
1925 was the first year of use. It's been in continuous use since that time.
It's on top of a big hill.
Right. The current high school sits. We're sandwiched between a cemetery and a cliff, essentially. Mm-hmm. The high school.
There's a song in that.
Perhaps the new high school. The site is atop of Haystack Mountain. That's where the former high hospital site is, and that's where we're building. Beautiful site.
I have to tell you, I think the old high school is a good-looking building. I mean, I understand.
Yes.
But it looks, as opposed to the more modern middle school.
The original design has lots of character. But it is just like the roof system from 1991 at Washington Middle is well beyond its useful life. And we have three third floors in that building, none of which connect. So it's a circulation nightmare.
It'd just be nice if they could make nice-looking buildings as well as.
So beautiful ones in Baltimore.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Great. Ms. Controller.
Just want to thank Dr. Cox for being here, and President Martini is... You guys, despite the fact you're not one of the very big counties, have done just a fabulous job of standalone financial literacy credit courses before you graduate high school, and I really appreciate your leadership. I'm a great supporter of your system. I do have a question, though, because I noticed in the State Board of Education documents on the readiness for the Common Core exams that you guys are kind of unique in that you have a big 0% ready for assessment and online learning. I happen to be a critic of the implementation of these Common Core standards because I think it's too much, too early, and too expensive. And I'd like to just get your view on Allegheny County's price tag that you might be facing for the implementation of the Common Core tests. Apparently the computers alone to take the exams online are going to cost you up to $644,000, and the cost of extending fiber to all the remaining schools that need it will approach $1.4 million. Well, that's change under the cushions and a sofa for Montgomery County, but I assume $2 million is a lot of money to your system. How are you going to get that in order to be in compliance?
Well, let me say first that we are supportive of the Common Core framework. We do believe it is absolutely the right direction in which to go to help our kids be college and career ready. We've been working for a number of years, Comptroller, on our infrastructure, not only for the purpose of testing, but for delivering instruction. We use our network. We have Polycom systems that we deliver Mandarin Chinese among our high schools. It's broadcast from one school to another. So we are the recipient of grant. We grants to have fiber connections to most of our schools. We are working to complete that, I think, with six remaining schools, and that's part of the work that we're doing. We're also submitting grants for that. Part of the question that we're all trying to work on is what are some of the devices that we would be using for the park assessments? And so I think we're like everybody else. We realize that it's not just about testing, but it's about delivering instruction on a day-to-day basis and having the same kind of technology in the hands of kids as they do their daily work, as they would be assessed.
How much time and staff energy will have to be devoted to getting your county schools up to speed, and are you confident you'll get there by the deadlines.
Well, I don't know how to put how to quantify that exactly. You know, I know that it's something that we're all working very hard to do, and you know some of the park assessments I think will be paper and pencil for some of the younger children, and so we want to have the most robust technology that we can, as I said, for instructional purposes as well as testing. I couldn't stand here and tell you exactly what the price tag is because I don't know yet what devices that we'll be talking about, and that's something that we keep, you know, trying to work on.
Okay, well, keep us informed, and I just want to, Madam President, if you see Becky Millar around town, please congratulate her on her summer lunchbox program for kids and how appreciative we are for her volunteerism.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. She is great, isn't she?
She's a wonderful lady.
Yeah.
Truly.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you all.
We are now on to... I'm sorry. They were... I thought they were pretty good. Can I give you this, Doc, from Allegheny County? This is on the school breakfast thing. You all right now are at 72%, which we appreciate, but that's 1,247 kids not yet getting breakfast, and that's Ann Sheridan right there, who introduced herself. All right, we are now on to Anne Arundel County. Anne Arundel County. We're joined by a number, I don't know who wants to introduce the delegation. I know that we have the county executive with us. We have the speaker who's with us. We have...
Governor O'Malley, you're taking the first paragraph of my...
Okay, all right. All right, I'll be quiet. We're all getting a little punchy.
Good afternoon, Governor O'Malley, Treasurer Cobb, and Comptroller Franchot. I am Mamie J. Perkins, Interim Superintendent of Anne Arundel County Public Schools, and I'm pleased to be joined today by our Chief Operating Officer, Alex Jacknovitz, members of our Board of Education, my county executive, members of Anne Arundel County delegation, county council members, and other supporters from the Anne Arundel County, supporters of Anne Arundel County. Basically, I have everyone in Anne Arundel County here with me. I would like to thank this board, the IAC, Dr. Lever, and the staff of the Public School Construction Program for your ongoing support of our county and our fiscal year 2015 request. Our district believes in investing the funding we receive wisely while maintaining a balanced capital improvement program, which is not always an easy feat. We often get so engrossed in current budgets and future requests that we don't take the time to realize the true benefits of prior funding. Not long ago, this board and our county council approved an open space wall enclosure project at Linthicum Elementary. I am proud to tell you that Linthicum Elementary just became our 16th Maryland Blue Ribbon School of Excellence. Thank you. I believe this is a tremendous dividend on a wise investment and would like to sincerely thank everyone for believing in and supporting what we strive to achieve each and every day. In developing our FY 2015 capital improvement program, I believe we have crafted a plan that is fiscally prudent and one that not only recognizes the economic constraints that Anne Arundel County and the state as a whole continue to face, but that addresses in a responsible way the needs of our school system so that we can move forward and diminish our overwhelming backlog. We must also not overlook our school system as a vital contributor to the economic sustainability of Anne Arundel County and the state of Maryland. We continue to increase the economic benefits with every student that graduates, with every teacher we employ, and with every program that helps our students to go on to college or into the workforce. We want to continue to grow positive partnerships with government, businesses, and community organizations to develop great future leaders. By prioritizing our resources to support our educational programs, we can also better support the needs of our students and staff by providing safe, healthy, and sustainable facilities. While finite resources command hard decisions, we sincerely believe that we are all on the same team, and these decisions will be an ardent endorsement for the nearly 79,000 students in our district. We therefore ask for your continued support and funding approval for the following projects. Our first request is local planning and construction funding for a four-classroom addition at Seven Oaks Elementary. This project will provide three kindergarten classrooms and one pre-kindergarten classroom in a rapidly growing area of West County that attracts young families and military personnel from across this nation. Next, we are asking for the balance of second-year construction funding for a high-efficiency prototype replacement school at Rolling Knowles Elementary. We are working with the county to extend public sewer, which supports the Sustainability Growth and Agricultural Preservation Act of 2012. The anticipated bid date for this project is early spring 2014. Our third request is for the balance of this year's construction funding for a renovation project at Benfield Elementary. The design will improve security and instructional support aspects of the facility, all of which are clearly focused on student success. With strong community backing, we will phase construction to allow students to remain in that building, save the district on transportation costs, and forge partnerships between the instruction and construction communities. Next, we are seeking approval of local planning authority and first-year construction funding for the modernization project at West Annapolis Elementary. West Annapolis is the quintessential community school. It is designed to blend in with the surrounding community and will provide an economic boost to local business and property owners. As with Benfield, we have met with MEMA to determine the emergency shelter requirements for this project and continue to work with our design team to integrate the requisite modifications. Additionally, we are requesting first-year construction funding for Superna Park High School. This will be our first lead high school. We are collaborating with the community and local environmentalists, including the Severn River Keeper Association, to provide a high-performance facility to educate and build future community leaders. We anticipate adding well over 300 construction trade opportunities for the state and local workforce beginning this spring. Finally, we are requesting the balance of construction funding for gymnasium additions at North Glen and Oakwood Elementary Schools. The existing multipurpose rooms at these schools are currently tasked with serving as the gymnasium, the cafeteria, the auditorium, the music room, and community gathering space. These additions will alleviate the scheduling demands of these two schools, support our physical fitness initiatives, and provide much needed space for our model partnership with Anne Arundel County Recreation and Parks that benefit the entire community. On behalf of our students, their parents, our employees, the Board of Education of Anne Arundel County, and the community in which we serve, I thank you for the opportunity today to discuss our FY 2015 Capital Improvement Program and how it supports the growth of Anne Arundel County and the state of Maryland. My staff and I would be pleased to answer any questions that you may have, and I'm smart enough to have Alex here with me. Okay. And also my county executive. May she say a few words now?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Governor O'Malley, Comptroller Francho, and Treasurer Cobb, thank you for your ongoing support for school construction and funding. Actually, I was going to say good afternoon, but I think we're on the evening now. Good evening. Thank you for your – it's been a long day for you, I know. We appreciate that you've continued to fund school construction in Maryland and certainly in Anne Arundel County. I'm also pleased to be here today with our Superintendent Perkins and the Anne Arundel County Public School System to demonstrate the county's wholehearted support for the $35 million request in school improvements. Since taking office, sorry, my voice is just coming back. Since taking office less than 1 year ago, I have committed to working collaboratively with the superintendent in Anne Arundel Public Schools. We are of the same mind in recognizing the importance of quality schools in optimizing our students' learning experience, and we view this as a team effort. Anne Arundel County has the third highest average growth in student enrollment in the state. The expansion of our commercial tax base throughout the county, including the growth at Fort Meade, NSA, and U.S. Cyber Command, is driving the county's student population. We need to provide quality schools if we want those workers to stay in Anne Arundel County, and we certainly do. You have very difficult decisions to make in meeting the school facility needs of 24 jurisdictions. For our part, Anne Arundel County has funded more than 77% of school construction costs over the past 10 years, which is an improvement, and 59% of our capital spending is dedicated to school construction. In the current year, 64% of our capital spending is dedicated to school construction. We've doubled our actual annual commitment financially over the last 10 years. County funding has either already been made available or is already included in the county's approved fiscal year capital improvement program in amounts sufficient to support 96% of the entire fiscal year 15 request. We are a reliable funding partner. We respectfully ask that you help strengthen the partnership by providing these school improvements to Anne Arundel students. And I'm quite sure you've heard about Severna Park in particular. We have received hundreds of letters in our office, more than I could bring today. There has clearly been an outpouring of support from the residents of Severna Park requesting needed funding for a new high school. It's a little tough to follow Allegheny on that one. They're dating back to 1925, but Severna Park is a 55-year-old, I'm just telling the truth, 1925. Ours is a 55-year-old school, though, and it has not had a major repair since 1982. It is one of the best-performing schools in the state. We invite you, in fact, to come for a visit. I am here on their behalf and on the behalf of all parents and students anxious for needed school improvements of the funding appeal on the funding appeal list. I respectfully request that you support our fiscal year 15 funding request. Thank you.
Thank you. Kevin, did you want to do? Do you have a? Do you want to put something on the? Is that the biggest we have of that chart? That chart over there shows you what we've been doing on school construction dollars, folks, over in the corner. I don't think I've referenced it in a long time, but I just point that out. Okay, and we're well aware of Severna Park. They've been,
calling you to?
No, well, they've been on the, all 8 years that we've increased school construction funding to record levels in the state of Maryland, they've been consistently moving up your list.
Right.
We don't create the list.
Right.
You all bring us the list. They've never been, to my knowledge, skipped on the list. Every time you give us the list, we fund the priorities in the order in which the county gives us the list. So they've been consistently moving up and getting a lot closer now, which is great. I'm sorry, who else wants to be heard?
Mr. Governor, if I might.
Sure.
I'm Kathy Vitale. I know most of you know me. I am the delegate that actually represents Severna Park. And, Governor, I thank you. Several years ago, you came to Severna Park Middle School while we were doing construction and renovation. One of the enjoyable things about the Severna Park community, of course, is that it overuses until it's difficult to use its schools.
That's where they had that great international baccalaureate program, right?
We
and all
certainly
the kids
had
greeted me in a different language.
We certainly did have a lot of different, I believe you quizzed the kids, if I recall, in the joint converted, used to be the tech center, and was being used, I think, as two foreign language classes that day. So I think the kids had a good day. It was during the elections, as I recall, and the governor walked in, and the kids were wearing masks of either Bush or Obama on the particular day that they were in. We certainly are appreciative of funding in years past. It's been 14 years that I've been able to stand before the Board of Public Works and ask for school funding on different schools. And within that 14 years, first in my time as a county councilman and now as a delegate representing the area, there's a couple things that I do know. The superintendent is right. We certainly are looking forward to creating the community leaders. I'd like to think that as an 82 grad of Severna Park, that I was one of those that benefited when things were really working well in that school. But right now, if you recall last week and you recall the cold, I will tell you that the boiler at Severna Park High School is not always working. I will tell you that the second floor of the high school may be at 104 degrees, while the bottom of that school is at 30 degrees. Teachers will tell you, as some have in their emails to you, about teaching with parkas in one classroom and shorts in the other. But there are a couple other issues that I would really like to bring to your attention. While I agree that it has been moving up, the way that our school funding is organized, we do a lot of systemic work in Anne Arundel County, like a lot of the other jurisdictions, of course. We're an old county, and as we have systemic needs, they seem to be across the top of the board. Dr. Lieber was very kind in meeting with me in September as we went through both systemic needs and construction needs. At this particular time, because it has officially made the list in terms of the county funding, there is no systemic work being done at that school. So its needs right now do not get met simply because it's, we're not going to throw good money after bad. If the school is going to be constructed, we need to move forward on the construction because those needs aren't being met. It meets all your criteria. It's over 40 years old. It is technically subpar. It will be difficult to meet and continue to meet new requirements with regard to technology. The students who go there come from renovated or newly constructed schools and a newly renovated middle school. So they go from having all of the technology to not having much of the technology in their last 4 years of education. It's a community-based school, Your Honor. We would encourage you to come visit our school that doesn't always have heat, the windows that have been boarded, and the ones that don't open, and ask that you strongly support the construction program as it came from the state, which was a strong support to deal with the funding at Severna Park High School. At this point, we are very concerned that if we don't move forward on this project, it will continue to hover somewhere around 18-19 on the construction. There will always be a new kindergarten that needs built, a new preschool, a new program, a new roof. But we've made the list. We've supported the other construction, and we'd ask for your support this time. Severna Park residents really believe that it's their time. We'd like you to take our sixth school that is overperforming and make it a healthy one that continues to perform. So thank you.
Thank you.
Governor, Mr. Controller, Madam Treasurer, I'm Delegate Steve Hsu. I chair the Anne Arundel delegation, and I wanted to put in a quick me too on the issue of Severna Park High School, one of the top performing schools in the state. We're very proud of it, but the physical plant is dilapidated. We do appreciate, Governor, that you have funded our priorities in the exact order we gave them to you, and we in the community are disappointed that Severna Park High School, you know, just missed by two notches down at 19th ranking. You were able to fund 1 through 17. We're only at round two. We're hopeful that in rounds three and four, funds will be forthcoming, and we would certainly appreciate it on behalf of the Severna Park community. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you.
Governor, if I may?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. I'd like to indulge just a second. We have enlarged the joy of having a close high school is we have a lot of supporters here, a lot of parents who've come and would like to express their support by standing, if I may.
Sure.
If it's those of Severna Park, please stand. Thank you very much, Governor. Severna Park is the number one issue for myself and all the reasons that are said. But I have to share with you, you know I'm a family man. My 8-month-old granddaughter, Ruby, may someday go to Rolling Knowles Elementary School. So Severna Park is number one. Rolling Knowles is number two. It's on the list. We'd appreciate all the support you can give for Anne Arundel County. Just as a reminder, I have voted for the capital budget last year and intend to this year.
That's an important thing to point out, Senator.
Governor, I understand. Thank
Not everybody does vote for the capital budget.
I understand. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. There's a gentleman who always votes for the capital budget.
Thank you. First of all, I'm here to thank you, Governor, and the other members of the Board of Public Works for 8 years of funding of our school construction program throughout the state. A record amount of money. The limit, my understanding was, from the COP original report was $250 million a year. You surpass that every year. Every year. Anne Arundel County will get close to $260 million in school construction during your administration, Governor, and I'm very proud to have voted for every one of those budgets, both the operating capital budgets and revenues to support those. And I'm here to support every school on the list. Severna Park, Rolling Knowles, Bentville Elementary, Crofton Elementary. They were put in order for a reason. Back in 2008, the Board of Education put those schools in order because that was a priority they were put in front of us. And we have stepped religiously with that order. And I'm concerned with all of them. And I don't want to see any school pass another school. So I want to be here, just like Senator Raleigh, for Rolling Knowles and Bentville Elementary School, which aren't in my district currently. But I'm just concerned about West Annapolis Elementary School as I am about the rest of them. So I want to thank you, and I pledge my support voting for the budget and the capital budget. And I would encourage everyone in the Anne Arundel County delegation to do the same. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Anything else, Mr. Comptroller?
Yes. Could I just thank the interim superintendent for being here.
Sure, thank you.
You've got a really distinguished record of leadership, and I'm delighted that you're here before us. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say Alex Sharknovovich is a kind of a hero of mine. I say this every year, Alex, but the children of Anne Arundel County are in your debt. And I personally think you're the best chief operating officer in any Maryland public school system without anyone even being close. So thank you for that. The county executive, I went over on Monday and sat and talked to her, and she wanted, obviously, more support for Anne Arundel County. And then all of a sudden she looked at me and she said, you know, it's my birthday today. Yes, and she said, to quote her, she said, my only birthday present that I really need is Severna Park High School. And so welcome, and I'm glad you're here. And obviously Delegate Hsu, who is such a fighter for Anne Arundel County, and Delegate Vitale, what an eloquent statement. Thank you for what you said. Senator Riley is a great friend. Thank you all for being here. I do have a couple of questions. You all don't have to stand up there if you want. I just need Alex a little bit. But feel free to stay there.
Smart man.
You know, I'm such a fan of what Anne Arundel did under your leadership 10 years ago in putting box air conditioning units in every classroom in Anne Arundel County. I understand now some of those schools are having systemic renovations, and they're getting central air conditioning. But I'm sure you were told all the reasons that Baltimore County and Baltimore City give to me. We can't do that, Mr. Comptroller, for our schools. We have to have 40,000 kids sweat in 110-degree heat. We have to have our teachers faint. We have to have no circulation. We just can't do anything about it until we do systemic renovations of our schools. Well, I'm sure you heard that it was too expensive, that the air box units wouldn't work in aging buildings, the noise would be distracting. This is my favorite, because apparently the air conditioning, when you turn it on, does make a little noise, and supposedly that is worse than melting in your own sweat in the classroom. Oh, and here's my favorite. The air conditioning units will give out. They're very, you know, just a couple of years. Well, you exercise common sense and compassion. You got those in there. And the idea that there are 40,000 students in the Baltimore region who are just year after year, because of the stubbornness of their school leaderships, are not taking advantage of what you did, Alex, 10 years ago. And are some of these things still working?
Each and every one of them.
And have the teachers figured out how to turn the controls on before the class and then maybe turn it off during the class?
Yes, sir.
So, anyway, thank you for that. I'm just sorry that it hasn't been exported to the even bigger counties than you. Okay, Severna Park High School. According to the Baltimore Sun, antiquated and inadequate parts of the school are crumbling, heating and air conditioning systems are unreliable. I guess my question is, how did you let the school get into this kind of condition? Given my great confidence in your management abilities, is this exactly what the conditions are? How did it happen, and what happens if it doesn't go forward in a timely manner?
Well, I believe that some of the statements that have been made regarding the school are exaggerated somewhat. We do have a very balanced approach. I believe you heard Superintendent Perkins indicate that our balanced approach takes into account maintaining our old infrastructure. Severna Park being a 55-year-old school, we have schools that are even older than that. So we certainly invest as much money as possible into that. But we have to balance that with the growth, too. We are a growing county, so we have to make sure that we address the capacity concerns across the county. All the buildings are maintained to the best of our abilities, again, given funding constraints, et cetera. And we believe that we are evenly distributing all of those resources across the district. Severna Park, being a 55-year-old building, suffers the same ills as many buildings that are 55 years old. But Severna Park is working. You've heard that the students there are doing wonderfully. In fact, they're some of the highest achieving students here with the state. What we hope and wish for them is to give them those opportunities that are afforded to all their youngsters in terms of technology, in terms of, you know, better environmental controls, et cetera. So it's not a matter of not providing opportunities to those students today. It's providing them ever yet greater opportunities on a going forward basis.
Okay. So if I can see that, but for some reason, some of the families at Severna Park have written me letters. Ms. Laura Stevenson wrote that the school is unsafe, unhealthy for our children. It's not ADA compliant. It has mold, asbestos, failing heat, no air conditioning in capital letters, boarded windows, falling roof, cockroaches, and it is literally falling apart. Deb Stevens wrote that his math class is so cold that everyone keeps their coats on to stay warm. Cafeteria is not large enough to hold everyone scheduled as they spread out. My son may not use certain bathrooms because of the conditions. Meredith Gawit, a parent whose husband went to Severna Park, writes, the building has been untouched since my husband was a student. Cites chip paint, cracked floors, and even leaking budgets strategically placed on the floor to catch water. And then Angie Sassy, a teacher at Severna Park, writes that the hallways are so packed that people literally can't move for minutes on end, end quote, which is obviously a safety hazard if it is true. She writes of boarded windows, classroom temperatures, either unbearably hot or unbearably cold, and leaking classrooms. So what can we do in the next couple of weeks to at least, if this is right, if any of these things are right, is there something we can do as far as helpful maintenance ahead of the funding of the new school?
Mr. Comptroller, you've been a frequent visitor in many of our schools, and we would welcome the opportunity to walk through Severna Park with you and let you make your own observations.
Okay. But just keep that in mind because you're good at this stuff. And I'm not, I thought those letters were pretty riveting. The reason why it's on the list of 19 is because it's moved up from 28. So it's about to get funding. And I assume that the Delegate Hsu and the county executive were right in thinking that this is going to get funded, hopefully in the next couple of rounds. But why wasn't it ranked higher originally?
We undertook a countywide study that was done. It was jointly agreed to the study by the four entities at that time, the county executive, the county council, the Board of Education, and the superintendent at that time, that we were going to hire an external company to come in and do an impartial analysis. In fact, the external company came from Washington State and Oregon to do the analysis of all of our facilities countywide and assist the Board of Education and the county government at that time to create a rank order prioritization, given that we have an excess of $1.5 billion backlog in Anne Arundel County Public Schools. In capital funding needs, there has to be essentially an algorithm, a rhyme, a reason to prioritize those projects. That was undertaken. The priority order was agreed to at that time. And since the introduction of the capital improvement program that was informed by that study, not a single school has moved up or down. The parties that entered into that agreement have essentially stuck to it. It has provided a tremendous amount of predictability. Everybody knows where they are on the list. They may not like the answer, Mr. Comptroller. They certainly would wish things were sooner, possibly rather later. But there is predictability, and we can demonstrate that Severna Park High School, as with all of our projects, have moved up sequentially year after year on the priority order as schools ahead of it have been funded through the generosity and support of both the state and our county government funding partners.
Well, I was encouraged by the speaker's presence and his statements. Please tell him I said some nice things about him. But if the speaker is supportive and you have this hardworking team behind you and Madam Superintendent, I assume that the county is going to receive money in this year. But what happens if you don't? Have you put your own money into this project already?
There is $26.5 million currently of all county money into the project. We've reached a stage now that we're eligible for construction. As you know, Mr. Comptroller, the state doesn't participate in some of those preliminary rounds. So the county government has forward funded $26.5 million to date. We're ready to break ground on the project. And essentially from this point forward, it's a 50-50. So we're in round numbers where the county government would contribute $25 million, the state would contribute $25 million. And we get the project underway.
Okay, and just one follow-up question. Are there other schools in the dire shape of Severna Park High School in the county that you can do something about as far as accelerating the process of returning the schools to acceptable condition?
Again,
I don't know, but I'm just...
It comes down to fiscal constraints. The governor has shown tremendous leadership, as many of us have opined here today, and the chart to my right demonstrates the safe commitment to public school construction under the prior two terms. And the county government has certainly stepped up its funding level, as recent history demonstrates. We hope that those two efforts, the state's leadership, and now with the government, county government standing shoulder to shoulder with us, we'll be able to accelerate the rate of improvements and renovations within our county.
Thank you, Madam Executive and Superintendent. Thank you for letting me visit Woodside Elementary School, Glen Burnie Park Elementary, giving a Merrill Masters Award to Desmond Wright at Central Special, and Henry Green and Heritage Baptist Church have this Backpack Buddies program for kids, and they are exceptional volunteers, and you've just got a great county. I really appreciate you all being here.
Thank you.
Could I ask whether you have looked at the question of forward funding? You know, we mentioned this in other counties earlier.
Well, yes, ma'am. As I said earlier, Anne Arundel County is committed already.
Are state eligible?
Yes, and there's $26.5 million that have already been committed towards the project. Of that, approximately $4 million was towards the design and feasibility. The rest of it is for construction. So in excess of $20 million has already been forward funded by the county government in the current fiscal year. It's banked, so it's sitting there unutilized until the FY15 funding comes in from the state and the county. We'll then have the critical mass necessary to break ground and push the project forward. That is a model that we've used in Anne Arundel County.
So what does that mean in terms of, you know?
Well, strictly speaking, it's not forward funded because they have not yet broken ground and are not spending construction dollars. They're putting county money first to take care of expenditures, and then the state money will come in to the extent that we can provide money this year. And then over the next, I think, roughly 2 years, next one or two fiscal years, we'll take care of the balance.
And if I might add to that, from the county's perspective, if you're referring to the forward funding, the potential state match, the county is prepared to do that. A commitment from the state would make it a lot easier to move forward with the schedule.
Mm-hmm. And the amount, what defines a commitment?
Well, the total amount that we're asking for is $35 million, but it depends. If you're speaking specifically about Severn Park?
Yes.
The county has made provisions, assuming a state commitment, that we will manage the budget accordingly. But it's an important consideration in understanding where the state is.
Well, this is a way, as I mentioned, and when we spoke, I mentioned a number of counties. The most immediate comes to mind is Montgomery, but there are others, Frederick, which did forward fund and have been repaid. I mean, there's, we don't Welsh honor. Yeah. So I would think that by the end of this process, there would be something underway, right? Without interfering with your priority list.
Ashford Channels, and ask one thing in closing. There's 7,100 kids in Anne Arundel who are school lunch eligible and receive school lunch but do not receive breakfast. So that puts you all at around 63% of those kids that are eligible receive breakfast. So if you could, we'd like to work with you. There's ways that other, I don't know if you can put that map up that Ann just told me is back up, Kevin. But there's some other counties that are up to 91%. And there's simple things that we've learned to do that can really help with deportment, discipline, achievement throughout the entire school district by crossing that delta again between the kids that are receiving school lunch and the kids of that percentage, the ones that are receiving breakfast. Right in between there are a lot of kids that are underperforming because they're thinking about their stomach throughout the day instead of what's on the whiteboard or the blackboard.
Yes, sir. We wholeheartedly agree we've been moving that in that direction aggressively. We had a pleasure of hosting you at our Eastport Elementary School. We saw the model where our youngsters are now eating in the classroom as opposed to in the cafeteria. So it eliminates some of the timing constraints, eliminates some of the stigmas. And we're as rapidly as possible expanding that.
You're doing a lot better than you were. And you're doing a lot better than you were 3 years ago.
We're very aggressive. Yeah. We're believers in the program. To share our strength organization, the Maryland Mills for Achievement initiative. So we are very aggressively moving in that direction. So we're aligned with you philosophically.
Awesome. There it is up there. I mean, that kind of shows you if it's red, that means the kids eligible for breakfast are getting it. If it's yellow, that means the smallest percentage are. So you all are doing better than you were. Thank you. And thank you, Severna Park parents, for being here on this long day with us.
Thank you
all. Thank you. Mr. Speaker, thank you, sir.
Oh, this is Mr. Speaker.
Hey, I'm going to take a 30-second break, okay, as we change over here.
No.
Oh, yeah, no, it's, she had a great doctor.
Where?
Funny little guy downtown, Glickman.
Hi. One day soon.
Okay, what's your name?
I will be here. Brandy. Glad to be watching you all. As you have been.
Okay.
Are you getting your picture done?
I haven't started yet. Dr. Dance, thank you for your patience, sir. Good to see you. Enjoyed being with you the other day.
How are you? How are you? I'm going to be the first treasurer without a picture.
Really?
I hate having my picture done.
Don't make you do it, but then somebody else will do one. All right. Baltimore County. Mighty, mighty Baltimore County. Dr. Dance.
Thank you, Mr. Governor. Good to see you again as we just celebrated this past Friday. 86.3% graduation rate for Team BCPS. 90% graduation rate at Randallstown, where we just were.
I love those kids at Randallstown.
They're phenomenal, and they're still talking about you. And there are several pictures in their yearbook of you, too. So just FYI, we'll get you a copy.
They were so focused and zeroed in. It was really it was a great experience. I stayed way too long, but it was fun.
We were happy to have you.
Thank you.
Comforter Francho, good to see you. We'll be seeing each other in a couple of weeks as we recognize some of the artistic work of our students in roughly 2 weeks. And Treasurer Kopp, thank you for allowing this opportunity. We want to discuss a couple of things with you this afternoon. One, we want to talk about the progress we're making in Baltimore County Public Schools as we get back to the stability of our buildings, but really get long-term planning in terms of where we want to go with our facilities and our programs. I personally want to thank you for the funds that have already been committed by the IAC. We have roughly $24 million that have already been committed, so we acknowledge that and are very, very proud and excited for that. And explain the need for why additional funds are needed in Baltimore County Public Schools. Right now, when I came to speak with you about a year ago, we started talking about the need to put together a long-term capital plan for Baltimore County Public Schools. We are currently, right now, working in conjunction with Baltimore County Government. Our county executive, unfortunately, could not be here today with us, but he has submitted a correspondence to the Board of Public Works. We will be obtaining public feedback in the fall on that plan. But what that plan really looks at is producing a long-term plan, very similar to what our colleagues in Anne Arundel just talked about, that looks not just at our growing student population, but it also looks at the age and conditions of our buildings. It'll look at air conditioning, which I know the Comptroller and I have talked several times about. But it also looks at how do we provide, as we look forward to going a one-to-one digital platform for Baltimore County Public Schools. And, Mr. Governor, we're very, very proud and excited for the Digital Innovation Grant that we received last year, roughly of $900 million to start the one-to-one program that we're calling STAT, which is Students and Teachers Accessing Tomorrow. So very excited about that. But the long-term strategic plan will literally coincide all of those pots together. Right now, again, we're excited about the $24 million that the IAC has already granted us approval on, which will allow us to renovate and expand Hereford High School,
replace roofs at roughly 7 of our elementary schools, put air conditioning in Overly High School, which is where the governor made his announcement last year about the record amount of public school construction. Again, thank you for that and your administration's commitment. Build an addition to Sparks Elementary School, partially fund an addition at Westchester Elementary School, and renovate Pikesville High School that will include air conditioning as well, too. Of course, there are additional unfunded projects that we would love to have the Board of Public Works support on as we address overcrowding challenges that exist in Baltimore County Public Schools. Right now, today, we know we have additional 6,000 seats that we will have over the next 5 years in Baltimore County Public Schools. So our conditions, our school population continues to grow, but really it looks to modernize our facilities as well, too. What we've really done is really revamped the process of obtaining community input in terms of the capital projects that we put forward. Particularly in the southwest area of our school system, you'll see numerous projects that include new buildings for Westtown Elementary School, Cadenceville Elementary School, and Relay Elementary School, in addition to the addition at Westchester Elementary School. With those replacements and new schools, we will literally be putting air conditioning in those schools as well, too. So thinking about long-term approach to what we do. In the northwest area of our county, where we literally just finished up a study that called for an additional literally 1,000 seats over the next 10 years, we know that we have a new school that's being constructed right now that it will look at relieving Newtown and Whitholm Elementary Schools that roughly will have about 1,000 students next year. So we're looking to open that in August of 2015. The proposed construction project for Central will allow us to open Mays Chapel Elementary School in August of 2014 that will accommodate 700 seats, but we also know there's a need for roughly about 500 additional seats in the Central region. With the proposal that we have for you, looks at renovating and replacement existing Lock Raven Elementary School that was existing as an elementary school that currently does not exist as one now. Repurpose one of our schools to serve as a countywide magnet, which we know we've had extreme support for countywide magnets and magnet schools in general in Baltimore County. Renovate and expand Cromwell Valley Elementary School to include a comprehensive school component that will allow it to obtain a catchment zone that will allow us to alleviate some overcrowding. And a significant renovation to Dunbar Middle School that would include air conditioning. Also needed, of course, our roof replacements at two more of our elementary schools, Whitmore Elementary School and Owings Mills Elementary School, and planning funds for renovation at two more of our elementary schools as well, too. We want to sincerely thank the Board of Public Works for its commitment. I think we look at the chart to our right and see the investment that our governor and the administration and the Board of Public Works has put into school construction projects. And we really do appreciate that in Baltimore County Public Schools, where we have one of the oldest infrastructures. So we really do appreciate that support. It stimulates our economy. It looks at job creation. And it benefits diverse companies. Over 31% of our business and our payments do go to minority-owned vendors. So we do appreciate the support that we've given. We've done a lot of work over the last couple of years. I know that the governor you've been talking about, and we even had a brief conversation last week when you were in Baltimore County about breakfast participation in terms of increasing breakfast in the classroom and grab-and-go opportunities. We've literally had a 17% increase just over the past 1 year. We are looking at right now bringing our high schools on board with that. Right now, the elementary and middle schools a lot easier because of the breakfast in the classroom, the grab-and-go. But we've had conversations with our high school principals right now about expanding that work into our high schools. So right now, we do appreciate the opportunity to stand before you with the additional requests that we, in fact, have. Again, as we move forward, we've tried to look at how do we long-term strategically think about our facilities, but also how do we match it with where we're going one-to-one in terms of our digital conversion. So thank you again for the opportunity, Mr. Governor, Madam Treasurer, and Mr. Comptroller, and we look forward to answering any questions you may have.
Thank you, Dr. Dance. Mr. Comptroller?
Well, that was fast.
Thank you, first of all, Dr. Dance, for mentioning Westtown. Denise Ivara couldn't be here today, but I think she's watching over the Internet, and she's been a great school activist, and I'm delighted that you mentioned it in your talk. I'm not sure if you heard my heaping of praise on Anne Arundel's COO, Mr. Shoknovich, for his steadfast commitment to box air conditioning units, but on the off chance that you folks actually might see the light on what he has done in Anne Arundel County, I actually brought a comptroller's medallion with me, hoping that there might be a breakthrough. I'm not sure there will be, but this is an extraordinarily important issue to the safety and health of the kids and the faculty. I applaud the county executive and you for doing some of the systemic renovation. But let's be honest, those are very, very expensive, and they take a long time. And in all seriousness, I hope that someday, soon, I will visit Baltimore County and hear the hum of box air conditioning units in these classrooms until your renovations can be completed. And Anne Arundel, for example, is just doing a renovation of a school that 10 years ago they put box units in. They're going to put the heating and cooling system in that you all are putting in your schools, but that's 10 years of kids not melting in the classroom. So having applauded your statement about air conditioning, could you just update me not on what is planned or approved funding or future installations, how many classrooms right now will actually get air conditioning in calendar year 2014, and at the end of the year, how many will still be air conditioned? I'm talking kids, really, because that's the only thing I focus on, and I think that's the audience that we need to deal with.
Very good point. And Mr. Comptroller, I can get the specific number of kids to you in the Board of Public Works. With the current funding request that we have before you and our commitment that we've already put into it, we'd have less than 25% of our schools that would need additional air conditioning.
Okay. That sounds obviously like you're making progress and moving in the right direction. It's still a heck of a lot of kids that have to put up with conditions that you and I and everyone agree are unhealthy and unacceptable. Trust me, it would be very helpful if the county executive could reconsider and help you put these units in. Let me return to West Elm for a minute. Assuming West Elm receives the funds that are being requested, what's the anticipated timetable for completion of the replacement?
With all of the projects that we have before you in Southwest and in Central, the anticipated opening will be August of 2016. The reason why we have such an aggressive timetable is because we want to make sure we're impacting our families only once with redistricting. So literally we would start the process so that within, for the August 2016 school year, 16-17, we'd be bringing those schools online.
Okay. Thank you. Now, if I could just briefly ask about the rather elaborate plan to relieve elementary school overcrowding in the Towson area. As I understand it, the system intends to reopen the former Lock Raven Elementary School, renovate it so it can accommodate 600 students. In addition, you plan to add 289 seats to the Cromwell Valley Elementary School, which will now become a neighborhood magnet school, close the Halstead Academy, and redirect those 500 students to the new reopened Lock Raven Elementary School. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. But the plan since the time that you are reading that has been updated with the IAC to actually look at 189 seats at Cromwell Valley, making it a 600-seat school, and making the Lock Raven Elementary School a 600-seat school as well, too. One of the things that we did with our process, which is quite different than previous years, we literally went to our community first and said, what are some things that we need to consider? We got that for about a 3 to 4 month period. We started involving more people in the process once we realized that more students and families would be impacted. Two of the main issues that came back from the community that they wanted us to reconsider in the plan was to make sure that the Lock Raven site as it currently sits has several community programs. It has some county offices, some school system offices, and they wanted us to be able to capture the community center within the school. And then they wanted us to make sure that we were allowed for walkability as we were developing any type of boundary process. So with the adjustment of the plan for 600 seats, we would allow us the walkability for a boundary process to consist, but we also would look at maintaining those community center programs within that building.
Okay. And the overcrowding situation is what in that area now? Are there portable classrooms?
There are portable classrooms now, but we also know that opening Mays Chapel with your support, which has been phenomenal, 700 mm-hmm. seats, we'll have a need for about 500. With the current proposal as it exists, we'll have 800 seats that we would be able to capture.
Okay. If you could comment on Halstead Academy, what kind of shape is it in, the building? I think you may be planning, as you said, or in your documents, that you may reopen that.
You're talking about Lock Raven Elementary School. Right now, Lock Raven Elementary School is not used as a school. It went offline right in the 80s. The second floor is not inhabitable right now. There is a feasibility study that was just conducted, which we have submitted for your review, that will look at what do we need to do with that building. It is on the local historical list, so we will be working directly with the community and with our county to make sure that as we bring that back online, we're protecting all the historical treasures and traditions that are in that as well, too. The current Halstead building is, it does, of course, have kids in there. The bones are really, really good with the building. We would be adding air conditioning with this renovation.
I thought that you might be opening that as a countywide magnet.
It would be a countywide magnet, but we would be putting air conditioning as part of the renovation.
And how old is Loch Raven, I guess? You mentioned that. Is it suitable as an elementary school, once again?
It's suitable with, and I'll have Mike Sons, our chief operation officer, come forward. It's suitable as an elementary school. However, it's not being able to be used right now. We'd have to do some significant renovations, in fact, to it. There's a feasibility study out right now that looked at whether you renovate, replace, or do whatever with it. We do understand, again, it's on the local historical list. We'd have to work around that piece of it because our goal is to make sure that we preserve that piece as well, too. But we would not be able to add kids to it in its current state.
Okay. And what about inconvenience to the families that have kids at Halstead? What's being done to mitigate that?
One of the things that we did was when we looked to put forward this proposal was to conduct a survey with the families of Halstead to let them know what was happening, get their feedback on it. The survey was put out. It was a response rate of over 88% with it, and over 90% supported the idea.
Okay, so I guess ultimately I said it was kind of elaborate and hard to follow, you all are more expert than I, but it seems that we're relieving overcrowding by reopening one school, one which hasn't been used as a school for many decades, in order to create 600 additional seats, but in so doing we're also closing another elementary school that currently enrolls about 500 students. The issue is overcrowded facilities. Why wouldn't we be reopening Loch Raven and keeping Halstead open as an all-hands-on-deck solution?
Very good question, Mr. Comptroller. One thing that we do know is we've had a lot of success, as my colleague before me talked about, with our magnet programs. What we're intending to do, of course, is replicate another magnet option for our families, which they've said they, in fact, want. If you look at the proposal as it currently stands, we'd be capturing roughly 800 seats as opposed to the initial 500 seats. You'd be gaining 189 seats with Cromwell Valley. You'd be gaining 100 seats, roughly, with Loch Raven, and then you'd be gaining another 500 with the current Halstead building.
Okay, but there's not what happens when you redistribute a student body like Halstead's? It's just,
yeah, when you're saying redistribute, we would not be doing that. The entire student body would be staying together.
They are.
Yes, sir.
In a different building.
In a different building, yes, sir.
So could you just go through this again for me, just so you got Halstead.
Yes, ma'am.
You're planning on moving all the kids from Halstead.
Whoops.
I thought you were giving me the phone.
No. It definitely wants to find you.
Got
to hear the hum of those box units, though.
To a renovated, different Loch Raven, something on the Loch Raven site.
Yes. What? Go ahead, Madam President.
And then Halstead remains as the magnet?
It would become a countywide magnet.
A magnet.
Yes, and the way we've defined countywide magnets is they're located in the central area of our school system, and we provide transportation to that facility.
Okay.
So it's a pretty comprehensive proposal that matches our strategic plan together with our long-term plan as well, too.
And then you've got Cromwell Valley.
And then you have Cromwell Valley that right now serves as a countywide magnet, but it would become a neighborhood school with a catchment area.
I see. Okay. All right. But some people want it and some people don't.
We've been working with the community on it. Matter of fact, I'd like to acknowledge a couple of our community members tonight from the Loch Raven Village community, but also from the Southwest community who've been here literally for 4 or 5 hours now. But we've been working with our communities on our plans. One thing I think that we've done is that we have expanded our models to really capture those folks who don't have maybe school-age children within our school system. But also, as we've designed our programs, designed our models, we've also tweaked them to also gather in community input as well, too. Again, the initial proposal that was in front of the IAC was literally just to have a 500-seat school at Loch Raven. Once going back and dealing with some of the concerns they had, we adjusted our proposal. But also, we did the same thing when working with the Cromwell Valley community as well, too. So as we go throughout the process of planning and design, we'd be working hand-in-hand with our communities to figure out what those buildings look like and the programs and community center initiatives we need to have within.
Okay, so some of the deferral may not be these schools, but some of the deferral
of planning because of feasibility studies. Is that because there are these changes in...
In the South Central area, there's site approval to acquire the site, which is now owned by the county,
yes, sir,
where the former elementary school sits. That is county land, so IAC has to approve the acquisition. And we understand that's in process, and we'll be receiving that request.
That is.
There's also the issue, the majority of the enrollment justification for the new Loch Raven school comes from Halstead, and so we need to know more about what Halstead is going to be. And then Halstead is a separate request. It's actually priority number 32, and we need to know more about the magnet program in that as enrollment justification for that project.
Exactly, and Dr. Lieber has been phenomenal in his support as we've worked through these projects. One thing that we have started the process now is working with our communities in terms of what programs go within that building. We have a couple things in mind. However, we're going to start a lot of outreach now to figure out what parents really want. What they have been very clear, though, is they want more tours.
I
where's the gentleman from Southwest?
Jim Kitchell.
Baltimore County. I couldn't see you back there, so thank you for being here.
Thank you again for the opportunity.
Dr. Dance, the on the school breakfast stuff, I appreciate your efforts, and Ann Sheridan's our Secretary of Children, Youth, and Family, and she can identify the schools where there's the best opportunity, easiest opportunity to cross the Delta. There's, of the kids, in Baltimore County, there's 16,103 kids who, while they are school lunch eligible, are not receiving a breakfast. And if y'all could help us cross that Delta and get your percentage up from 61% to 70%, that would be about 3,000 kids. And I know that you know how this can help. But we put some more money in the budget for the little connecting things, the carts or the trash cans or the stuff. So I'd appreciate your help. And also wanted to say to you that Izzy Patoka, who often travels with me when I visit schools, was with me last week, and he remarked afterwards something that had not occurred to me. But he said all of those bright-eyed, smart, high-achieving students at Randallstown all knew who you are and what you do. And it's not every school system we go to. And let me say it another way. It's very rare that kids ever know who their school superintendent is. But as a tribute to your presence and your leadership, those kids all knew who you were and wanted their picture with you. And I think that's a testament to your leadership. And I just wanted to thank you for that.
Thank you, Mr. Governor. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Comptroller, Madam Treasurer. Beverly Coleman. Beverly Coleman is chair of the Southwest Area Advisory Council. We have advisory councils with our Board of Education. So, Beverly.
Good evening, Governor O'Malley, Comptroller Franchot, and Treasurer Kopp, and board members. I want to thank you for your time and the opportunity to speak today. As Dr. Dance has already indicated, I am chair of the Baltimore County Public Schools Southwest Area Education Advisory Council, and I've served as chair for 5 years and have been an advocate and active member in Baltimore County schools. I am a volunteer, as are the two parents behind me, which are Erica Ma, the vice president of PTA at Hillcrest, and Jim Kitchell, who is the president of the PTA at Hillcrest. I'm speaking in support of all of Baltimore County Schools' construction requests. The development of the school system's request has included considerable community and stakeholder involvement and consideration. There are critical needs throughout the county, and given the county's history of contributing more than required share, state support for school construction anywhere in the county is a prudent investment. Specifically, I would like to draw the board's attention to the unified plan to construct or substantially renovate 4 schools in the southwest area of the county, the part of the county that I represent. The plan is wise and innovative in a number of ways. First, it will solve some of the worst infrastructure problems in Baltimore County. Catonsville Elementary, for example, is more than 100 years old, overcrowded, lacks ADA compliance, sprinklers, and air conditioning. Second, while Hillcrest, bless you, will not be renovated itself. The effect of the overall plan will be to alleviate overcrowding at one of the largest, most overcrowded elementary schools in the county. Relay Elementary is just about to turn 40, by percentage, is the most overcrowded elementary school in the county. It's at over 146%. Westchester Elementary, although a relatively new school, is also over state capacity guidelines and has already 4 relocatable classrooms. Finally, Westtown Elementary, which is old enough to draw Social Security, is also quite overcrowded and lacks air conditioning, which is a special challenge in overcrowded schools. All of these schools are projected to be overcrowded for the next 9 years. So the problem is not going away. The plan represents a significant investment in our children's future and is a fiscal prudent, and it is fiscally prudent. I meant to drink my water before, I apologize. All of the land that will be used is either an existing school site or is already in the county's inventory. The county and state will need to spend much of the proposed funding anyway to address specific issues such as safety or air conditioning without getting the additional benefits of a new school. The unified nature of the plan means that families, who are generally also voters and taxpayers affected by the plan, will only need to be redistricted to new elementary schools one time. As I'm sure you know, multiple rounds of redistricting are a primary source of dissatisfaction in these situations. Speaking of families, I would like to mention that question of state support is of intense interest to hundreds of families in the Southwest area. And as Comptroller Franchot has already mentioned, we know that some are even watching it online today.
Excellent.
Consideration of your time and the efficient conduct of these proceedings, we didn't bring a busload of supporters just to make a point. As we can see, there wouldn't have been enough space. But please rest assured that busloads of your constituents are paying attention. My last and most important point is that the plan supports the continued health and well-being of the county and state, as well as our status as the nation's leading education state, by providing thousands of Baltimore County elementary school children with a 21st century learning environment. That environment will provide the foundation for those children to compete for jobs in a global economy and be well-rounded, successful members of their communities. I urge you to support Baltimore County's school construction request in its entirety as part of the Maryland Public Schools Construction Program capital budget for fiscal year 2015. Thank you again for your time, your attention, and most of all, your service to the people of Maryland. Thank you.
Thank you. That was one of the best statements I have heard all day long, so thank you. Thank you for being here.
I'm
guessing we didn't have questions for you. Last, certainly not least, no? Oh, I'm sorry.
25.
Penultimate. But certainly not penultimate in our hearts. School for the Blind.
I am Mike Vina, president of the Maryland School of Blind. Good afternoon, Governor O'Malley, Comptroller Franchot, and Treasurer Kopp, members of the IEC, and also Dr. Lever. The Maryland School of the Blind respectfully requests the Board of Public Works increase the allotment by $3.7 million to fully fund its $14.7 million request for construction of the classroom and residential building for autistic students. In addition, MSB is also requesting local planning approval for the next phase of the campus master plan to begin renovation of the newcomer Case Campbell classroom buildings, which also house a gymnasium, the school's commercial kitchen, a dining room, and library. Projected cost of this renovation is $22 million, with $15 million cost to the public school construction fund. This would be over a 2-year period. I'm also pleased to report that with the $100,000 you allotted for security improvements, we are installing card swipe systems, cameras, and intercoms that will be fully operational this spring. With the $400,000 you allotted for air conditioning, we are able to air condition our gym and our school, which are the two remaining student buildings that are on air conditioned. I'm also happy to report that the life building projects for multi-disabled students are about 50% complete, in spite of all the delays with the weather. We're hopeful to occupy the cottages in August and the classroom building in late October. So we're most grateful for the funding for these essential buildings and also for the security and the air conditioning projects.
Can you make sure you let me know when that one gets open?
Yes, sir, absolutely. We are very much appreciative of your opportunity to make this appeal, and we thank you for your favorable consideration. I, too, want to add my appreciation of Dr. Lieber and his staff for their support in helping us navigate this new, wonderful process. But I will emphasize very strongly that it will significantly, profoundly impact blind and visually impaired students and those with multiple disabilities for many, many years to come in the future. I'm very proud to be part of the project to make this happen. So that concludes my remarks.
Questions? It's been a long time since we've done much up there. It's good to see so much happening now.
A lot has happened in a short period of time. I will say that the legislature, the administration, everybody has really rallied to make it happen for students all across Maryland, which really kind of gives credence to that One Maryland concept. I've experienced that being from out of state. I've not seen such support for a school administrator from an administration. Thank you, Governor.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for your leadership there. Thanks a lot. Baltimore City. Good stuff that's going on. To my council. Hi, thank you.
Thank you.
The Baltimore School, I always mess it up. The Baltimore Design School.
Yes.
I almost did four. I almost did all, but it's Baltimore
Design.
Design School.
Right, for everyone.
It is one beautiful facility.
Yeah, great.
Really, really impressive.
Yeah.
And for that, hopefully, that's the shape of what's to come.
Just the
with
beginning.
The larger project and what it does for that neighborhood to be able to walk around that facility and
beautiful.
Look out the windows
and to see it off of 83. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it really is tremendous. If my fellow board members have not yet visited the Baltimore Design School, I encourage you. You talk about buildings with old bones that are now being repurposed and reused.
Yeah,
I mean, that one is very cool space. I can see where the... How are the kids doing there?
They're doing very good. They're doing really well. Micah's a wonderful partner there. And lots of community investment in that school. And not only is it a wonderful facility, but it's a wonderful school community. So they're doing really well.
That's great.
What do you like about it, Governor? It's light?
There's tons of light. And they some of those big... I mean, there weren't as many windows in there as there is now.
Oh, yeah.
So they had to carve into these giant, you know, very mm-hmm. thick places. And there's light throughout the place. But it just has this cool...
It was
cool
a building that had been kind of thrown away. And now it's the light of that community.
Yeah, it was a decrepit in the center of a lot
ugly.
Of neighborhoods. It was just this hulking, vacant
yeah.
structure. And now it's filled with life and kids and also light. And also the way they teach, I mean, the whole crux of it is to teach the science and the math and everything else in a design context. So the kids are thinking conceptually and working
in
teams.
And being creative.
And
creative.
Being creative.
Yeah,
problem
right.
solving. All the sort of things that we know kids
right.
take to, but that we haven't done in the old mode hierarchical lecture at the front, everybody be quiet, face
yeah.
forward, don't talk to your neighbors. This is all, everything about the building is engaging. It's
yeah.
very cool.
Wonderful.
So what is Micah's role?
The Maryland Institute of College
no, no,
of Art.
Like it is,
yes.
What is it?
So they're one of the lead partners. The president of the university is actually the president of the board for this school.
Okay.
And so lots of young people are there mentoring and cultivating the talent and creativity of our children. children. It's just a wonderful partnership.
So there's a lot of kids from MICA that come over and do assistant teaching and that sort of stuff. So there's a lot of cross-pollinization with the older kids and the college kids coming back and helping these kids develop the skills necessary. And I imagine it's a citywide?
Yes. And any kid can, that's why I said for everyone. So it's grade 6 through 12. And you don't have to have a certain GPA. You don't even have to have a portfolio. You just have to have a desire and an interest. Mm-hmm. And you go through a lottery process. And it's a healthy mix. We thought it would be very heavy on the girls' side at one point because of design and fashion. But they have the architecture program there. And so, and it's a school with no uniform, so the kids love that. They get to be creative and... so it's a really wonderful school.
Yeah, it really is. And the diversity in the school was pretty impressive, as I recall.
Yes, it's wonderful. Thank you. So my remarks say good morning. So I don't know if they think tomorrow morning. but good evening, Governor O'Malley, Comptroller Francho, and Treasurer Kopp. On behalf of the Board of School Commissioners, I thank you for the opportunity to address the members of the Board of Public Works about the capital priorities for Baltimore City Public Schools. I would also like to give special thanks to the Board of Public Works and Mayor Rawlins Blake, Senate President Mike Miller, House Speaker Michael Bush, state leadership, and the City of Baltimore representatives and delegation for the substantial support and hard work which you contributed to the passing of House Bill 860. I also want to acknowledge that I have my Director of Facilities Planning here with me, Dr. Lynette Washington, Tawana Sturett, which everyone knows here well. She works hard for Baltimore City, our government liaison person, and our Chief Operating Officer, Keith Scroggins. We are here to appeal the IAC designee's second round funding recommendation to City Schools fiscal year 2015 CIP. I would like to begin by thanking you for the $17 million allocation that has been recommended thus far. This initial allotment is indicative of the state's interest in investment in public school construction in Baltimore City. The state's past investments have allowed us to improve the infrastructure of many of our schools, as we have been good stewards of these funds with a growing need amongst our aging school facilities. It should come as no surprise that we are petitioning for the full amount of our CIP request. We continue to emphasize that Baltimore City, in comparison to other local education agencies in the state of Maryland, has the highest need in regards to the amount of state funding that would be required to bring our buildings up to minimal adequacy. Our facility inventory includes some of the oldest school buildings of any school district in the state, with 74% of our facilities built before 1985. Based on the age of our facilities, many will require deficiency correction as well as life cycle replacement of building systems, as many of our building system components have exceeded their useful lifespans. In truth, fiscal year 2015 request of $52 million only begins to address our true facility needs. As you know, we are riding the crest of a successful story for city schools, one that we are striving hard to sustain. Our standardized test scores have steadily improved over time. The number of students dropping out of school has steadily declined, and our enrollment has steadily increased. We have expanded programs that are successful for kids and closed programs that are failing. Matched with our academic achievements, the district is continuing the momentous groundbreaking work to implement the 21st Century School Construction Program approved by the school board in January 2013. The introduction of House Bill 860 and Senate Bill 743 in July of 2013 guaranteed annual construction funding from the state to city schools in the form of a state construction capital block grant, and designated a quasi-government entity, the Maryland Stadium Authority, to oversee the financing and implementation of the building's plan. This legislation provides approximately $1 billion to help Baltimore City Schools renovate or replace 30 to 35 buildings, which are in the worst condition. Additionally, the district participated in a four-way memorandum of understanding with the Baltimore City
Public Schools Construction and Revitalization Act of 2013. With the Maryland Stadium Authority, the City of Baltimore, and the Interagency Committee on School Construction to specify parameters, roles, and responsibilities amongst parties for this ambitious school construction program. Two key requirements of this MOU include a comprehensive maintenance plan to allow the district to articulate its ability to sufficiently maintain new, renovated, and existing facilities, and a utilization plan to demonstrate how the district is moving forward toward an efficient overall utilization of all its buildings. As we enter the first phase of building renovations, we are working to transform schools into the 21st century buildings with robust teaching and learning environments for thousands of students in the district. However, we realize these efforts in the next 7 years will only address 25% of the current building portfolio. City schools still need more resources to manage the other 75% of our school buildings. There are a number of projects in our appeal, major projects and systemic renovations, the replacements of Holabird Pre-K-8 and Graceland Park O'Donnell Heights Pre-K-8 are being requested to improve the learning environment for our students and teachers by offering new facilities that incorporate the latest energy efficient and sustainability building practices. We ask that you approve these projects. We are also seeking funding to replace building systems in various school facilities, primarily to install improved heating and cooling systems, which are critical for life safety and educational and building environments to ensure that students, teachers, and staff can function in a comfortable environment, regardless of the extreme weathers. These projects include boilers, heating and cooling, and fire safety. All future schools, both replacement and renovations, will achieve a minimum of LEED Silver rating. In addition to these accomplishments, we have also received, along with Howard County Public Schools, a letter of commitment from the Maryland Energy Administration for funding of a grant to offset additional costs of designing and constructing a net zero energy school at one of our current two CIP-funded schools. Our grant request is up to $2.7 million in additional costs. City Schools has a number of ongoing capital projects and initiatives that would be enhanced and supported greatly with the additional stream of capital funding. We appreciate the support you have given to City Schools, and we request your responsiveness to our appeal as we work to continue to address the facility needs of Baltimore City students. We ask that you reconsider our fiscal year 2015 CIP funding request in light of these needs. You have the recommendations in the appeal form, and we hope that this information is useful to you. And again, we want to thank you for everything that you have done thus far and for your continued consideration of the future needs for Baltimore City. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Edwards. Questions?
This is the normal CIP, and then you've got a number of projects to be undertaken mm-hmm. with the new program. Mm-hmm. Do we see those projects? Here's my question. 15 and 20, for instance, which are deferred due to fiscal constraints. The request is to replace the 1971 fire alarm system and add carbon monoxide detection, replace exit lights, install emergency lighting. I would think those sorts of things would be, why aren't those at the top of any of the list, and why isn't it illegal to not have this?
So that's a very good question. The reality is that is not an... Unfortunately, many of our buildings have those types of situations.
So what are you doing about it?
That's why we're here. We are investing our own resources, and we are also asking for continued CIP funding to address some of those emergency conditions in many of our schools. But
That unfortunately is why, I shouldn't say unfortunately, that's why we asked for the $1 billion, so that we could have a set of resources where we could take those schools offline and bring new schools online, because the gap was so large.
Well, that was my question. Are these schools that don't have fire
protection? They have fire alarm systems. Their systems are very antiquated and require a significant amount of work, repair all the time. We also, in these schools, we work with the fire department and with the staff of the school. We have fire watches that ensure the safety of the students in the schools. But what we are trying to do is to put in completely new systems that are compliant with city code.
Right.
Can I ask just, what do you say to the, to your peers around the state who look at the $335 million up there in the chart and say, "God, you guys get three times that everybody gets all across the state. You get three times that in one chunk of money, $1 billion, and you're still before us in queue to get whatever allocation there is from the normal."
So the first,
I mean, isn't that embarrassing sometimes to go?
Absolutely not. I'm here to advocate for our children.
Well, I'm sure. No, it's fabulous for Baltimore City. I think it's, I mean, this is like unbelievable, but you don't even give up. You get $1 billion that nobody else has, and you don't even give up the normal school construction allocation?
I think we should step back and first recognize that the way that $1 billion comes together is that the city, between Baltimore City Schools and Baltimore City, we contribute $40 million a year for the next 30 years of our own resources. So the way that $1 billion comes together is through a three-way partnership. And yes, the state made a wonderful investment in the children of Baltimore City, but that was only one-third of what it took to get to $1 billion. So it was a significant investment of the school system and our local community to get to $1 billion. That was not done without significant investment of our community.
And it doesn't begin to start. I mean, it's not happening this year, right? I mean, that's an off.
Right.
So to those who would say, "Oh, you're double dipping," the fact is you're not. The dollars that go to school construction that we have pledged as part of this accelerated billion that we bond into the future, that doesn't start landing in terms of expenditure
until 2015-2016.
Gotcha.
Okay. Let me I don't mean to act uninformed. I'm not in the legislature, so I didn't know what was going on, but I do know I go all over the state, and there are people absolutely screaming for school construction
money. Absolutely.
And God bless the legislature if they can find the money and make this work, because it's, you know, it's just, well, let me just ask this. As the new program is going forward, what kind of attention is being paid to the ongoing maintenance of the existing buildings? Mm-hmm. As old as they might be, the ones that are in operation right now, what's being done to, as I guess the treasurer was asking about some code things, so I'm asking, what about just ordinary maintenance? What
right.
is the situation with the city's program?
So we understood going into this is that the city not only needed to invest the $20 million to support the bonds, but we also needed to have a very aggressive investment strategy around ongoing maintenance for our district. And so we are calibrating ourselves to increase our maintenance budget at about $3 million a year for the next 8 years, which means that 8 years from now, our budget will be about $24 million more than what it already is. And we are already investing somewhere between $16 and $18 million in general dollars to our maintenance fund. So we understand that with these resources comes a commitment to maintaining the buildings that we have children in who are not a part of the initiative, but also that we need to make sure that Baltimore City never gets into a situation again where the capital investment hasn't been cared for over time. And we're working with the IAC. They have a copy of our maintenance plan. We're waiting on feedback for that, and we're in an ongoing partnership to make sure that we are being held to the highest of standards around our maintenance program going forward.
That's excellent, Dr. Edwards. Would you make sure I stay in the loop on that?
Of course.
On what exactly the program consists of?
Yes.
And there actually is a provision for withholding funds if the maintenance plans are not submitted and complied with.
That's correct.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen.
It won't.
I don't want to give the wrong impression. I'm just saying, my goodness, you know, Montgomery is banging on my door at home saying, can we get $1 billion and can Prince George's get $1 billion and what about us over here? So I didn't mean to shock you by indicating that I was not aware of it. But
I understand.
Boy, $1 billion here and $1 billion there, pretty soon it's really money.
Yeah, but it's a pledge. Keep in mind, you know, it's a pledge thing. There are those that are running around acting like somehow we went in and we took $1 billion away from everybody to give it to Baltimore City, which is a usual thing. And I know there's columnists, God bless their hearts, in Montgomery County that make a cottage industry of this. But, you know, what it requires is they looked down the road, they anticipated what their allocation would be for a 30-year period. They came together as a city and as a school system, pledged it, bonded it, and that's what's happening in the part of our state which is best capable of absorbing the additional population growth, which would be a benefit both to, you know, on so many scores. So other jurisdictions that want to do this should begin by talking amongst themselves and seeing if their counties and their school boards would want to make that sort of long-term decision, because it is not a double dip. It is banking and betting on a forward, on a bond, in essence, to do now that which otherwise you would not be able to get to within a period of time. I mean, and it's going to create some challenges for them because they're going to have to make sure they maintain these buildings and do that. But they're banking that the city's population will grow. In other jurisdictions, growth is not the problem. They're growing too fast, and therefore accelerating a bond issue like this and doing this sort of school construction might actually run counter to what they're trying to accomplish by way of channeling and keeping growth in their older communities by way of renovations. So,
Well, that's helpful.
I understand.
Just a comment.
I appreciate the questions. I understand.
Let me ask my favorite subject. What are we banking on as far as getting some immediate help to the kids that are lacking in air conditioning and the faculty, because it's a health issue? And trust me, the people that say no can do and it's too expensive and you got to wait until we do this, Mr. Scroggins, you're probably told me that for a long time, but for gosh sakes, how many kids right now don't have air conditioned classrooms?
About 32,000.
I mean, I just find that
46,000 or two.
Yeah.
But we.
Well, can't we do something for them?
Well,
please.
You know, this
I have a medallion. I had a medallion here somewhere.
I'll take it later.
Can't we get something going that's not going to be 7, 8, 9, 10 years down the road?
We currently have 9 programs in our CIP program, 8 which are under design and 1 which we are about to kick off, which will add air conditioning to those buildings.
What year? What year will they be
completed? Within 2 years.
Okay.
We also have, with the 21st Century Plan, another 30 to 35 buildings that will have air conditioning. So at the end of phase one, we will have probably a total of 66,000 students at a minimum, but that does not take into account any growth, but a minimum of 66,000, which would be 84% of the kids in Baltimore City having air conditioning in their school.
And when is that over phase one?
2019.
Yeah, that's all due respect. Got to do something quicker than that. I mean, you can't do it to these kids. And you can't take these engineers who are biased against it. Take this guy, what's his name? Shoknovich from Anne Arundel County, and bring him up there. I mean, the guy can show you how to do it so that by the end of this calendar year, every one of those kids has an air-conditioned classroom. And, boy, it would... I'll bring you a whole briefcase full of medallions. I mean, it's got to do it. There are too many kids that are... it's just not right. And so anyway, I'm done. Thank you for being here. Dr. Edwards, very impressive presentation.
Thank you.
Mr. Scroggins, as always, but try to reconsider and let's get the job done because clearly the money's going to be available down the road.
Can I ask two questions?
Sure. So,
looking at these, like Coldstream Park, which is deferred because of fiscal constraint, or Stuart Hill Elementary, can you tell me that, in fact, they do now at least not violate basic fire and safety?
No, they do not.
Right.
They do not. And we consult with the fire department every year as we open schools. They check all of our schools to make sure that they are safe, and we develop plans to ensure the safety.
Because it's sort of shocking sitting here looking at what's being heard. And school downsizing and closure is part of the plan?
Absolutely.
Going forward?
Yes. Yes, we just finished six closures this past fall, early winter. We are committed to surplusing 26 buildings out of our portfolio by the end of the project. We're looking for more opportunities. Again, this is an area of that we've talked through extensively with the IAC. We know that we have some, we've already agreed to increase utilization targets. We want to not only meet those expectations, but we're working hard to exceed those expectations. So we are very open to and understand that this is an opportunity to right-size the portfolio with the community. I think one of the things that makes this different, and again, why we're so appreciative of this investment, is that we were able to go to our communities and say, by closing schools, we can get children in 21st century schools. There's an exchange. There is an exchange. So it's not just about closing down. Exactly. So it created a wonderful opportunity in our community, and it's actually brought us together around education. And so it's something that we're very excited about, and we couldn't have done it without the leadership of the legislature and of our governor and the other leaders here in Annapolis. So thank you for that.
It took us all these years to overcome David Lieber's aversion to any new schools in Baltimore City, but by God, we've done it.
Anyone can change, Governor O'Malley. Don't ever forget that. We don't give up on anyone in Baltimore City.
It only took me 7 years. My portrait will be on that wall before the shovel goes in the ground. By golly. Finally. 15 years I've been trying to build a new school in Baltimore City.
Well, you did.
But he's on our team now, right, David?
He's on our team now.
He's on our team now, Governor.
Thank you for working with the folks in the treasurer's office, the debt management people, as we go through all this. Just want to make sure that we don't do anything that violates IRS.
You have an amazing staff. And they have been very good to us. They've been partners. They've helped us get smarter about what we do. And it's been a wonderful partnership.
It's an arcane area.
But you know what? They're a fun group of people. So even though it's not necessarily a fun topic, they have a sense of humor.
You have to make what you can.
And your staff it's just been really good. Partnership and good to our children and good to our team. So thank you.
It's a commitment on our part.
I've learned a lot from that lady sitting next to you.
Me too.
You know, and the difficult part of this going forward will be when we are at that time when what we pledged is coming. I mean, there will not be as much as, you know, you still come in for the differential, right?
Yes.
But
we understand. Yes. We understand that there will be some shifting. We understand that we have to make our case. We understand that there are other children in the state who also have a need, and so we're not remiss to that. But our job in Baltimore City is to keep you informed of the needs of our children, and I couldn't live in my city without making the request, Governor.
Gotcha. No, and could you? I talked to you, called you on the phone, thanked you for what you had done on the childhood hunger, but we still have 19,218 kids who, while they receive lunch, don't receive breakfast.
Ann Sheridan, who you should know by
yes.
now. We've got a little packet for you. Could, if you're at 60% now, if you could get it up to 70 in short order, I know we'd see the benefit in the achievement levels, and I'd be grateful.
And
to
I'm
you.
Committed to that.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can I just ask you, I don't know when you came. Did you know Pete Rawlings? Does this name mean anything to you?
I do know the name. I don't know the person. I've been in Baltimore since 1998. I'm a University of Maryland Law School grant. So I've been here since then and worked in the school system since 2003. I did not know Pete Rawlings directly.
He was working on this long ago, and he would just, you know, he would be so pleased.
Elated.
So proud.
Yes.
What's happening.
We know that. Absolutely. Thank you for supporting us.
Thank you.
Thanks
a lot. All right. This concludes our meeting of the Board of Public Works. I'm sorry? Oh, we got to take action.
Oh, yeah.
Comptroller moves approval, seconded by the Treasurer. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye. All opposed. The ayes have it. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.